MTA Rockford.
One, two, is this on?
He's opinionated.
I'd agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong.
He's high energy.
Everybody on? Good.
Great. Grand. Wonderful.
And now, he's here to get you through the end of your workday.
After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I just stare at my desk, but it looks like I'm working.
Welcome in to the Jake Locally Show on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Sports Fan Radio, 1330, live and on the air. Jake Locally here, Christian Hager alongside, as we move through another day in paradise. July 10, 2018. A little bit cooler than we were experiencing yesterday, but not all that much. The temperature gauge reads about the same, 88 degrees. That's our high for the day, but as we learned yesterday, those always don't hold true throughout the course of a July weekday. We got a World Cup game live right now. We got White Sox baseball tonight. Tons of breaking news in non-sports this morning. We were all waiting with bated breath to find that all 12 Thailand soccer team, all 12 of the Thailand soccer team players were rescued from a cave labyrinth along with their coach by Thai Navy SEALs today. That is some phenomenal news that we've been celebrating throughout the day. Soccer has taken almost the forefront of all the sports world with headlines, between the World Cup being the most high-profile thing happening as we're speaking. The best player in the world is changing teams in that sport. We'll compare it to other American sports to try to find an apropos comparison as to what this actually is for the soccer world. I have a few ideas. I need to bounce them off of Christian Hager so he can tell me whether they're accurate or not. Currently, France and Belgium at 0-0. At halftime, the second half probably going to begin very, very soon, as that one went to halftime at about 1:47 is about what I had on my watch. But so 15 minute should be elapsing very, very fast.
Oh, yeah, they're back on the field now.
Like
the
I pitch. Said, White Sox baseball up at 7:10. They got the St. Louis Cardinals, so I am a White Sox fan.
Cool.
Looking Thanks. Forward to that. Looking forward to rooting for the Southsiders. Tonight, the pregame show starting at 6:35, all right here on Sports Fan Radio 1330. The Cubs also back in action out in San Francisco with their game starting at 9 p.m. And Christian, I should have known better
than to do what you did yesterday.
I shouldn't have had a hot take revolver on the Cubs at all.
Well,
because
have
frankly,
you learned your lesson, good sir?
My prediction, the only part of the game I talked about, not necessarily incorrect. In fact,
fair.
I'd say pretty darn accurate.
Yep.
Kyle okay. Hendricks had a great bounce back game.
He did. He did.
Pitched 8 1/3 innings, allowing no earned runs on 5 hits, striking out 8, only walking 1. If that's not a gem, I don't know what is. The problem is that the Cubs bullpen, most notably, Shisha, came in the 11th inning, gave up a walk-off single to the Giants. Now, there are situations here when I would feel okay with this result. Buster Posey knocked one in. Andrew McCutchen knocked one in. Brandon Belt. Brendan Crawford. Any of those guys? I might have been able to cut my losses and say, you know what? That's a good hitter beating a bad bullpen pitcher. Let's get out of here and go home. But it wasn't that. No, 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 no. It was the Kung Fu freaking panda. Pablo Sandoval with the walk-off single to put the Giants over the Cubs 2-1 last night. His second stint in San Francisco, the place that made him famous, gives the Giants a 2-1 edge over the Cubs. But, Christian, I was right about Kyle Hendricks. And so for that, I will be taking my W. But I might have also mushed the Cubs because the gods so badly wanted for Hendricks to pitch well, and I could sense that. That's why I picked it. But the gods also demanded
that the Cubs lose.
That if I'm going to be right about this, we're not going to give you the win.
Makes sense.
It hurts. It hurts real bad. It makes me sick to my stomach. Would you, for 5 seconds, Christian is locked in on the team. No, 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 I get that. But there's another step to what you're doing right now.
We're talking about the Cubs. What do you want me to say? Their hitting's inconsistent still. They're not a great baseball team. Gone.
51-37?
Not a great baseball team. Not going to win anything when it matters.
So when will it start to matter to you?
The playoffs.
Okay, so baseball season starts in October for one Christian Hager.
Yeah. So technically, the White Sox have not actually had a baseball season in a while, so it's fine that I haven't.
Yeah, White
really
Sox baseball has been on hiatus for about 9 years.
Which is okay.
When is the last time the White Sox made the playoffs? I made up the number 9.
I have no idea. I don't even remember anymore. Probably 2013 or 2014, when they had the weird run where they had a better record than the Cubs, when the Cubs just started coming on.
Well, the Cubs were tanking.
No, no, no. Like, the Cubs were supposed to make the playoffs that year. Like, everyone projected the Cubs to have a better record than the White Sox that year, and then they made a run.
Well, that might have been true, but definitely not. The Cubs from 2010 to 2014, and then the 2015 season when they're like, hey, we might start trying to win. They were bringing up Chris Bryant, and then they went to the wild card. The Cubs basically were trying to be bad up until they very much weren't. The Theo project works just about perfectly.
You know what?
But that doesn't mean they weren't projected to be better than the White Sox, because the White Sox are pretty bad.
I'll give you the year.
Currently 1.5 games behind the Milwaukee Brewers, who sit in first place. Like I said, St. Louis trailing with 46-43. Apparently, I saw a note, Christian, from The Athletic, guy who covers the Cardinals for The Athletic, said that Mike Matheny sends out text messages the night before a game to his next day starting lineup. And in the previous month or so, or in the last few weeks, Dexter Fowler has totally went Zero Dark 30 on Mike Matheny. Just won't answer anyone's texts. Just refuses. I mean, he's getting his dog for his effort out there.
I mean, I would too.
Yeah. Because that comes top down, right? If the organization is telling the world that you don't play hard, you're probably not going to be fair. You're probably going to be even more icy towards them. But with your luck and my luck, now Dexter Fowler will go out and rip some dingers out in the south side of Chicago. But I think he badly wants to be back on the north side. And I don't blame him. I would want to, too. Brewers also becoming the leader for Manny Machado. Bill Michaels was talking a ton about that today. A very, very interesting conversation as to what they have to give up. You said the Cubs aren't a good baseball team. Let's jump right to this.
Let's jump right in.
If the Milwaukee Brewers were to acquire Manny Machado,
they're definitely winning the division.
No. They're definitely winning the division. I agree with you there. Are they just outright a better baseball team? And hold yourself before you give the answer you want to give, because this is a wildly important question given what the Cubs are, what they should be in terms of what the fans think they should be, and what they should be objectively.
I mean, on paper, no, they're not a better baseball team. On paper, no, they're not a better baseball team. But
in practice, paper doesn't win championships. Paper doesn't win championships. Practice does.
If you add a top 25 baseball player to a division leader, and the team behind them cannot consistently hit or really get bullpen pitching the entire year, yeah, they're a better team.
That's scary. If you're the Cubs.
Absolutely. That the division leader is maybe one move away from legitimately being a consistently better team.
I mean, if there's one thing, I mean, the Brewers pitching has even been up and down in terms of who is starting, who's playing, which is concerning for them. But the pitchers they have in there, 4 out of 5 of them had an ERA 0.6 or under. And then they're going to add some bodies back in. If some guys get healthy. The biggest problem they have, they don't have guys that are driving in runs right now. If I stick a top 5 player in the game, and you said top 10, I'm willing to go top 5. And you stick him in the middle of your lineup, you stick him in the 3 spot, all of a sudden he's protecting the 4, 5, 6 hitters in your lineup. That is a big-time acquisition. And the Brewers, don't forget, have a deeper farm system than the LA Dodgers do. So if you're Baltimore, who are you picking up the phone with more frequently? Now, if you're the Brewers and you get word from Machado's camp, and they might play this game to try to avoid a trade to Milwaukee, that, hey, he's not going to sign with you, and LA's willing to pay a non-rental price, because the Brewers are still going to want to get him at the rental price, which is a couple your top two prospects, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, more than that, but the core of it is probably your top two prospects. If LA comes in and says, we'll still empty the farm for you, whatever we got, it's yours, just name your price, because they're so confident they're going to sign him, then maybe it could get interesting. But just all things considered equal, what's a more likely spot, LA or Milwaukee? I would say definitely Milwaukee, because they got more prospects.
And LA, if they, I mean, baseball teams, executives are more in than the beat reporters and the fans are. So the thought being that LA knows this scenario and they could back out of a possible Manny Machado trade, knowing, hey,
we'll get him next offseason anyway.
Yeah, we can get him in the offseason anyway. We're LA, we have the money. We can back off of there, which then obviously helps the Brewers. And absolutely. Even with no promise for a re-sign, there's no reason they don't go out and get Manny Machado.
John Morrissey on MLB.com says Brewers landing Manny Machado becoming more realistic as time goes on. And then the headline to the actual story is Brewers appear best positioned to land Machado.
I mean, he goes to a contending team that's probably one or two pieces away from being a super contending team. There's no reason why the Brewers don't make that move, even if it is just a one-year rental.
And in 4 days, 10 years ago Saturday, the Brewers acquired the hottest name on the trade market in 2008, CC Sabathia, reigning AL Cy Young winner. He was brilliant in the second half, and Milwaukee ended its playoff drought. That the lead to John Morrissey's story on MLB.com. Again, talking about what we just talked about.
And Sabathia stayed a couple years after that, correct?
I believe so.
Yeah. Well, because here's the thing. He says now there's no chance that I'm re-signing Milwaukee if that does come out. But if they make a deep playoff run, maybe he gets sold on the culture, the potential, and then maybe he does re-sign. So there's no downside outside of maybe selling the farm, but even still, if you're already a division leader, there's no reason to not sell your farm for a top-tier talent.
Because you see an opportunity in that the Dodgers have struggled mightily at points this year.
The Cubs have been inconsistent.
Are the Nationals ever going to scare you that much? The next best, the wildcard teams are probably going to be the Braves and whoever doesn't win the Central. Is that some absolute wood chipper of a playoff thing that you don't think you could make a run if you all of a sudden add a top five player in the game to your roster? It doesn't scare me. If I'm the Brewers, I'm making every call possible. I'm saying name your price. I'm paying it. There is a time and a place to go after this. We're in May or April, and you had a 1.5 game lead on the Cubs.
You don't have to, but we're almost to All-Star. Almost to the All-Star break.
They did also carry a division lead into the All-Star break last year. Let's not forget that.
Even more reason to do it.
They also sat on their hands.
Exactly.
And allowed when the Cubs got hot, they went cold, and all of a sudden they slid back into the pits of having to compete with NL West teams, and that was a stacked division last year with the Rockies and the Diamondbacks locking up wild card bids probably by August.
Because if you think about it, Manny Machado gives you some help on the defensive end, saves you some runs, hopefully there, right? When you have inconsistent pitching, occasionally you're going to need a guy to go off, have 3-4 hits in a game, or you're going to need a good defensive presence to maybe save a couple. He brings both of those, which is a perfect complement to the state of that team right now.
Very, very interesting. Question of the day. If the Brewers acquire Manny Machado, are they a better baseball team than the Chicago Cubs? On paper, in practice, in reality, take all of those factors into account before you answer. I know from a stat sheet perspective, from a baseball prospectus perspective, and what their rankings were out as prospects, the Cubs are still better. But that doesn't account for everything. If I just judge college football teams based on their four prior recruiting classes and calculated that up, it would give me an idea of who the best teams in college football are. But would it tell me exactly the best teams and in what order?
No.
That's kind of my point. Prospect rankings being the top overall prospect is the same as being the top recruit out of high school. You're probably going to be a pretty good player. You're probably going to be, if you stack a bunch of them together, the odds of you being a bad team are razor thin. Does that mean a team can't recruit diamond in the rough kids, develop them, and turn into a better team? Happens all the time. Not every time.
But it happens.
Consistently. In one way or the other. Interesting question. That's our question of the day. The Brewers acquire Manny Machado. Are they a better team than the Chicago Cubs? I dare say yes. I dare say yes. I mean, the Brewers have three All-Stars just like the Cubs do. And they're going to get another because Jesus Aguilar better win the NL fan vote. Because who in the heck would you vote over him?
Harper.
Harper's in. Are you talking about Trea Turner?
No, Trea Turner's in. Bryce Harper is the fan vote, I thought.
I think you had those flip-flopped. I might be way up, but I think you had those flip-flopped. If Bryce Harper wasn't an automatic in, baseball fans are losing their GD minds. Let's check in with the World Cup when we come back. Sports Fan Radio 1330. We're back after this.
Chevy's for less. Chevy's for less. Chevy's for less. That's right. Chevy's are always less.
Sports Fan Radio 1330. Jake Logley, Christian Hager, it's good to be with you on this Tuesday, 2:19 in the afternoon. Talking a little bit about baseball to start the show. Cubs losers to the Giants, 2-1 in extras last night. Back at it at 9 p.m. tonight. The White Sox on our airwaves, 6:35 pregame, 7 p.m. start against the St. Louis Cardinals. You're on Sports Fan Radio 1330. World Cup going on right now. France and Belgium in locked in action. Christian, you are riding Belgium all the way to the championship, although right now looking a little more grim as France was the first to strike. Tell us what happened.
I don't know if you're talking grim. One goal's fine. It's in the 63rd minute.
It's grim for me because I have France and the over.
Yeah, not looking great for that. Also, Belgium just got a yellow card, so a little bit more grim. But no, Fred scored off of a quarter, got a header, near post header right over the goalie. It was actually really pretty.
We're going to need another France goal soon, and then a fake rally counter Belgium goal.
Oh, a fake rally. Okay.
Yeah, no, fake rally for sure. And then a 2-1 final.
Yes, now we are in the 64th minute, and Belgium just picked up a yellow card off of a corner that they did not score on.
So that's a little update. What's happening with the World Cup? We're going to dive into everything happening out in Russia after a while. England and who? Croatia?
Correct.
Are tomorrow at 1 o'clock also. So Christian and I's pre-show meeting is occupied very heavily by whatever World Cup game is going on. Days. And the final's not till Saturday, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
Which is a smart call.
Yeah, no. That's the perfect time for it, for the world, and also just viewership.
And we talked about yesterday, the ratings have been good. I could only imagine what might happen if we get like a France-England final. That's about best case scenario for Fox, right?
Yeah.
We'll break down the combinations.
Definitely, I mean, any England final is the best case for Fox at this point.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe France isn't a big shaker and mover, but it's a perennial power.
No, and they have the best player remaining, well, not the best, but the most
name recognizable
right now because he's having a great tournament. So a lot of people, it's the cool thing to like good old Mbappe.
Christian, keeping it on baseball, weird story that we were tipped off to right before the show. Kansas City Royals today signed a 16-year-old pitcher. And we've seen that happen. I've seen Cubs during their rebuild sign 16-year-olds or 17-year-olds. What's strange is that this young man is from Japan. What's even more strange is the 16-year-old had just finished middle school.
Hmm?
Junior high.
Hmm?
He's electing to go to the major leagues instead of going to high school in Japan.
Wouldn't you rather go to the major leagues than go to high school?
I'm torn about this one.
Really?
Yeah.
From the player's perspective or from the Royals' perspective?
Major League Baseball's perspective.
Okay. Explain, please.
I mean, I guess we allow people from countries in Latin America to do it. So, and we pretend like, oh, well, they're coming over from horrible situations. So it's fine that they're coming over just being baseball players from the age of 16. But and without knowing very much about this kid's background, in the U.S., there'd be a big problem if you dropped out of school at 16 or you dropped out of school as a freshman in high school and tried to play professional sports. Wouldn't that be a little bit of a problem?
You have prep academies now that, I mean, yeah, you have a personal tutor, basically, and you go to classes maybe a couple times a week, but it's mostly a sports factory.
But isn't that more of just what it is in reality? Like, I don't know.
It's a little bit different because you're playing for a pro team, so it's going to be like the schedule's going to be a little bit different.
That's what we mentioned them as. I've never like lived the life of a day of like a football player at IMG Academy or like some of the basketball preps out in California or in New York and things like that. I know those prep schools exist, and we all joke about that they're barely even taking classes and they're doing whatever they can do to clear NCAA clearinghouse and all of that sort of stuff. But I don't know what those kids' day-to-day looks like. Point being, it's just rough for me to accept that a kid with an 8th grade education is all of a sudden just going to stop and just pursue baseball because he can throw a fastball at 88.
I don't mind it because, honestly, you can get homeschooled. You can get...
I also love the movie The Rookie, so maybe, or The Rookie of the Year, so maybe I'm being hypocritical.
You can get personal...
Rosenbagger!
You can get personal tutoring. There's no reason to think that a different education system outside of a set classroom is any worse than just sitting in a classroom. I would be more worried about the time schedule than anything else, but outside of that, it's not like he's going to be that far behind. You can get a quality education still. And I'm sure there's some clause in there, or the Royals are going to help pay for something so that he still does get an education and at least gets a GED or the equivalent of in whatever he needs from China.
But in,
or Japan.
In
China?
China. In football, you can't just say China like that and expect me not to say that.
Well, I was questioning.
In football and basketball, aren't there age limits? I know there is in basketball. Certainly have to be 19, right?
Yeah.
Or at least complete 1 year higher education or whatever the rule is.
You have to be 1 year removed from high school.
Okay. You have to be 1 year removed from high school, from graduating high school.
Yes.
In football, is that just a physical requirement? Could a 16-year-old potentially play in the NFL?
I don't think so.
If his body was physically ready?
I don't think there's any because you have to
It's not even a remote possibility that they would be ready, but let's play the hypothetical.
Is there a rule blocking? Yeah, because you can't enter the draft until, your junior year?
Right. Yeah, you're right. I thought about it for a second, and you're just correct on this one, so I won't argue with you. But in soccer, a sport that you revere the prep period, players all the time jump in at 15 years old and basically just start playing soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Hockey, you start playing juniors when you're 16, 17. You finish high school, though. At least that's my impression.
Well, you go... But here's the thing. I mean, with a lot of those high school pro leagues, you get a bunch of high school age people. They go and live outside of their town. They go live with a surrogate family. And then, yeah, they'll go to classes there or they'll have a tutor. So it's not that much different than the high school pro leagues for hockey already.
I don't know why I have a big hang up on this, but it feels a little gross.
Just because he's leaving his home country and switching countries. It's not just going from Montana or Wisconsin to Iowa to play hockey.
Yeah, maybe the kid's family is dirt poor and can't eat, and then he's going to make money for the family. Or looking to find a way out of a crap situation. Delta crap hand in Japan. I don't know.
But I do like this from the Royals' perspective because they have control from age 16. They can kind of slow him down if they feel like his arm's getting worn out. They're not going to be... You look at high school pitching where they're throwing back-to-back games, throwing over 100 pitches and wearing out their arm at a young age. The Royals have a little bit more control and they can give him a little bit more physical therapy, help, training, to better prepare his body. I think there's some people that might say, well, if he's playing Major League Baseball from not Major League Baseball, but in a system from age 16, is his arm going to wear out? Is there going to be injury problems? I think it helps the injury problems because they have more control. And generally, a Major League organization is a little bit smarter about how to handle the health of players.
Don't you ever sell Major League Baseball short their ability to mess these types of things up. Let's make that very clear.
I just think it's a better... I like it for the Royals, especially when he's 16 years old throwing an 88-mile-per-hour fastball.
Yeah, I guess I don't have a good reference for like what high school players are usually throwing, but that seems pretty impressive.
Yeah. Especially, he's a freshman. He's not even in high school yet. Maybe by your senior year.
And listen, I feel like I hate on pitchers coming over from Japan. It's mostly because they start having pro careers. They go through the youth baseball program there. Then they start pitching professionally. They work a bunch of miles on their arms. Then they come over and they either gas out or they don't have any energy left or they're just not as good as advertised. This is a great example of let's find out what a really phenom talent can do out of Japan without having that much wear and tear.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't a pro over there. He wasn't dominating over there, and then the buzz starts to begin. I mean, we saw probably the hype train come in with Masahiro Tanaka, and then Yu Darvish had some injury problems when he came over. Shohei Ohtani's already had some injury issues when he came over here. Now, you could chalk that all up to fluke, but with all that consistency, is it not fair to say maybe it's a little bit of crapshoot when you pull guys who are already pros in other places? So maybe this is how you have to develop Japanese talent, is to get them when they're 16, 17 before they turn pro over there. Our question of the day today, if the Brewers were to acquire Manny Machado, are they a better baseball team than the Cubs? We're going to post that on Facebook in the next 5 minutes or so, but we got to hit a break. Don't go anywhere. More after this. It's Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Everyone knows Al Grace Appliance is the place to go for appliances and mattresses.
Sports Fan Radio, 1330. Jake Logley, Christian Hager, it's good to be with you. What is this, a Tuesday dance party? This is safe for Fridays, ladies and gentlemen. 815-874-1330, the number to call if there's anything on your mind. We're going to the phones right now to see what's up in the state line. Good afternoon. Who we got on the phone? What's on your mind?
Hello, boys.
Jake, it's good to hear from you, my friend.
How's it going?
We're trying to hang in there. We're trying to watch some World Cup. We're trying to figure out... I think Christian and I actually agree on something for once. It's that the Brewers might be a better team than the Cubs if they get Manny Machado. And so that's the question of the day. Would you agree with that being the good Cubs derider that you are?
Well, according to the standings, they are right now without Machado.
Would you think that's true, like, just overall, though, Jake? Do you think the Brewers are a better team with Travis Shaw and Eric Thames than Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo?
Isn't Chris Bryant hurt?
Well, yeah, but he's smoking home runs in Double-A. So I'm just saying a better team.
Well,
not playing better.
Double-A, he gets up here with the big boys.
The Brewers are playing better, but are they a better team? Not right now. If they acquire Manny Machado, all of a sudden you can say, even on paper, just objectively, just taking all things equal, and if everyone's playing at their best, they might be a better baseball team at that point.
Okay, in that same vein, if the Lakers acquire LeBron James, are they a better team?
Yeah, but are they a better team than the Warriors? No.
No, okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you this one. I'll say yes. They would be better if Machado was there.
Right
now, they're not better. They're just luckier.
I like that. Right now, our poll sides with you. 92% of voters saying, yes, they would be a better team. But you also tipped us off to the 16-year-old that is going to play for the Royals, or in their organization, I should say. I don't know. It kind of puts me off in some strange way. I'm not sure why. Your thoughts on a 16-year-old being signing with a major league organization from Japan?
Okay, first, my thoughts, according to that poll, 92%?
85 now. It's live. 85? It's moving live.
Okay, a lot of people are drinking early. according about this 16-year-old kid.
Yeah.
If they let him do this, and apparently they're going to, then how long is it before somebody here in the state says, if a kid from out of the country can do this, then the kid from in the country can do it, and all of a sudden, scholastics don't mean anything anymore. We're all about sports.
Right. Are we prepared to let a 16-year-old drop out of high school or Boylan High School to go pitch for the Cubs?
Right.
I would say no.
Are we?
I'm not.
I'm not either. I mean, we keep saying that, you know, get your diploma, get your diploma, get your diploma. And now all of a sudden, well, get your paycheck and then get your diploma.
Right, right. But
I'm not about that at all.
I don't disagree with you at all. I think you're right on top of it. I don't think we're ready to make that concession for our own children. Why would we expect or allow someone else to make that call?
Well, you got you nervous. If an adult can't make it, how in the hell is a 16-year-old kid going to make it?
Well, I think what you're trying to avoid is the fact that Darvish was a pro over in Japan for a lot of years before he came over. So now you're getting this kid before he has all that wear and tear that you couldn't control.
Well, but still, he doesn't have the maturity.
True.
Emotional. What would you have done with $322,000 when you were a 16-year-old kid?
Well, first off, I want to say that there's nothing mature about adult Yu Darvish. He's the softest, most childish person I've ever met in my entire life. Let's make that clear. If I got $322,000 when I was 16 years old, I'd be the proud owner of a life-size to scale dinosaur in my living room. I'd buy a full statue of a T-Rex.
How would you fit it in your living room?
I'd figure it out.
Okay.
Maybe a velociraptor. Well, yeah. Lawn ornaments.
With that kind of money, you could probably have the living room redone.
That's absolutely right. I could go high
but
ceilings.
Is that a mature decision?
You're right. It's not.
You know, when you hit 21, you're going to look around and say, God, I spent how much on that thing?
Just like when I'm 25, I'm going to get all that box of driving talent from the insurance company. That big box of driving talent I'm going to get when I turn 25.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. I forgot about that.
I can't wait till that big box of driving talent comes.
You're not 25 yet?
Jake, you're the man. you make me sound more mature than you, Darvish.
That's a high bar.
Yeah, that's a high bar to clear.
Yeah, that's a high bar. Okay, we better let that part sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Thanks,
Have
Jake.
Have a good afternoon.
Thank you, sir. You too.
Betcha, bye.
That's our friend Jake. Oh, he's calling in. I do sound mature, don't I? More mature than you, Darvish. I don't take days off for the flu. I just go take midday naps because I'm tired. That's the part of the new morning show gig. Got a nap. That's what everyone tells me. I used to be a good napper, Christian.
And then you got old. Or something, I don't know.
No, I just started having a more consistent schedule. I stopped going 10 strong hours a day. We were going through our schedules when we were in college prep school, and we were both keeping some pretty insane schedules at that time. And then all of a sudden you go off to
what's
potentially higher education, and then all of a sudden your schedule becomes a lot more free, and you're like, this is not how this is supposed to work.
This is fun. I love this.
Sports Fan Radio 1330. Let's hit a break. Leave us plenty of time to wrap up hour one when we return.
Hey, I'm Jordan Goldthie with your sports update. Last night in baseball, the Cubs began their West Coast trip out in San Francisco to play the Giants. Unfortunately, came up just short.
Sports Fan Radio 1330 is back live and on the air, 2:45 in the afternoon. Thank you so much for making time for us. Our question of the day, if the Milwaukee Brewers acquire Manny Machado, are they a better team than the Cubs? Matt on Facebook already agrees with Jake, says they're a better team without him.
I like the flaming hot fire that's going on right
Matt,
now.
Matt throwing around some heat. I appreciate that. Thanks, Matt. Thanks for listening. Thanks for commenting. Do you know where the Twitter poll is at right now, Christian? Can you pull that up for us? See where... And listen, I understand that...
76% yes, 24% no.
24% says no.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, Matt. I know what you're saying. The sole measure of who's a better team is who has the better record. The Brewers are playing better. They're not a better
team. Right, but the sole measure of a better player is not championships, apparently.
I didn't say sole.
No, it's fine.
Well, that's a huge leap to take, and you know you did because you're grinning into your phone right now, so you know. The more you think about it, like, wait, that didn't make sense.
No, it did make sense.
Nope. Nope, sure didn't though. Except for the part where it definitely didn't.
Except for the part where it definitely did make sense.
They are a better team without him. No, they're not. They're just simply not. The Brewers are made up of players that are performing well, outplaying their expectations. Cubs are made up of players who are slightly underperforming.
Slightly.
Yeah, they're 51-37.
Well, dynasty.
Who just in the beginning of the show said it doesn't matter until October?
Me, because it doesn't matter until October.
Okay, so now you've talked out of both corners of your mouth simultaneously.
Absolutely, what it's doing with the Cubs, yes. They should be winning more games, but also it really doesn't matter at the end of the day.
Sure.
Okay. It's just fun to troll them because they're not winning more games.
I just understand that it's you see that question and you're like, well, they're a better team already. They're not. They're not. They have a better, they're a game and a half ahead. Here's the thing, and this is to Matt, to Jake, to everyone else that said, out of the gate, they're already a better team. One game situation. Wild card baseball. Cubs, Brewers. Who's the betting favorite?
The Cubs.
Does that not answer the question? Who's the better team now? Cubs versus Brewers with Manny Machado. Who's the betting favorite?
Probably the Brewers.
Starting pitching still comes into play here. John Lester was the pitcher of the month in June in a wild card game. Who are the Brewers throwing?
Probably four relievers.
Yeah, exactly. Bullpen game.
Hader pitches three innings.
It gets more interesting, doesn't it?
It does, but I think it's a pick'em with Machado.
That's why it's a question of the day. It's a pick'em. Who's the better team?
The Brewers. With Manny Machado, they are. If we're just answering that question. But if we're talking about betting odds and we're talking about a one-game wild card, it's a pick'em.
Money line on a seven-game series. Brewers-Cubs.
With
Machado.
With Machado, Vegas is high on the Cubs. It would, at the end of the day.
Because when does Vegas get burned really badly?
At the end of the day, you can't. The money line's still going to be an on-paper thing.
Yeah.
And on paper, even with Machado, the Cubs are probably a better team.
Vegas puts out strange lines all the time. Everyone thinks they're dumb, and then it hits.
But baseball's normally pretty predictable. We've talked about this. The baseball lines are pretty predictable which way they're going to lean. And I think in a seven-game series, the Brewers end up winning with Machado. But do I think they end up being the betting favorite? No, because
You think you would make a bunch of money on Brewers plus Machado versus the Cubs in a seven-game series? Because you would hammer Brewers plus
165.
Yeah, 170 or so, whatever it would be. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You would bet that to the high heavens and feel pretty confident.
Absolutely. We also have 6 minutes of stoppage time in this World Cup game right now.
Still 1-0 France.
Still 1-0 France, but 6 minutes, that's a good sign. I enjoy that. I don't enjoy this at all. This is not fun at all. I don't know why I like soccer.
Watching Belgium counterattack.
Soccer's a terrible game. I'm tired of it.
Instagram story from someone with Dante DiVincenzo.
Wait, hold on. Mbappe just got a yellow card for flopping. For trying to waste time.
So he's out of the final?
No. He'll be fine. It's just a yellow. It's not a red.
Oh, I thought. Oh, okay.
And they reset after the semis.
Oh, I was thinking about Ronaldo. Was that Ronaldo's second yellow card?
Yeah, he would have been out the next game because of a total after the group stage. But no, Mbappe went down trying to waste time and got hit with the yellow. So this is it's happening. There are measures in place here.
Yeah.
And you're not, but this will be the time that you see it. It's a one goal game. It's a semifinal.
It was just exercise against a 19-year-old that's a burgeoning star, but not quite the star yet.
Yeah. You think if Ronaldo or Messi were to flop, he wasn't going to get it?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
The super, that is where you said during the Brazil Belgium game, superstars, Carls, don't exist in soccer. I disagree when it comes to this stuff.
Like if they're down, you are going to give them the benefit of the doubt that they're injured.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't interpret intent as much with superstars.
But, I mean, we saw it in the group stage that Ronaldo, like you said, Ronaldo had enough yellow cards to be out a game after the group stage because they were calling it pretty even. That was my point, is because of the amount of yellows that Ronaldo and Messi were getting, that superstar calls don't exist. Because if superstar calls existed, you wouldn't see them getting that amount of yellows, was my point. But I get what you're saying. Yeah, I think you do give. But you look at someone like Luis Suarez, who is kind of a known flopper, known rule bender, they're more quickly going to pull the yellow on him. That's just a proven fact that there's more of a chance he's going to get that. So I do think a player's history plays into more effect than it does in other sports. Because if it was more like soccer, James Harden wouldn't get the calls that he gets. Because the refs would know he's going in there looking to draw a foul and get to the free throw line. I think you would see a lot more discretion on not giving him the foul calls if they were more like soccer refs.
What I was going to tell you right before we started down that rabbit hole, the flopping and time wasting, I saw an Instagram story of Dante DiVincenzo holding up his iPhone, his Wells Fargo app, his checkings account currently holding $2.68, his savings $1.03, an NBA ESPN account screenshotting that saying Dante DiVincenzo's bank account about to elevate. Yeah, good for him. Those are the types of stories you like seeing, these guys drafted and signing big paychecks and having a good time and enjoying life down in Vegas in summer league.
And remembering our college checkbooks, our college accounts back then too, and knowing he's one of us.
Oh, what's this, $3? Cool.
I can go to McDonald's.
I've definitely gotten a lot of LOL texts with screenshots of PNC and Chase and Wells Fargo bank account statement.
Bet you can't guess what I did last night. Definitely didn't go out last night.
Hello, it didn't close out. Tried to charge my card extra. There was no extra to take.
Who's really winning? Ooh, those were the days, right? Yeah.
That was something. Yeah. I don't know if those were the days, but it was.
That's why I would definitely take a paycheck before I got my diploma. Thank you very much. I'll go pay for a tutor. Thanks.
Got another text in. Time wasting even worse than flopping. Sometimes they go hand in hand. Sometimes they go hand in hand like this one, but they are two different things. Time wasting as in passing the ball back and forth.
Or Pogba right now boxing someone out in the corner.
But that's the same. You can run the football. You can run the football in American football.
Yeah.
I'm cool with time wasting.
But yeah, no, there's, I mean, if you can pull it off, if you have
you
enough.
Just like you got to blitz 10 guys on third and one.
France wins.
Before the, was it another goal? Or
no,
just
no,
ended
it ended. Pogba was boxing him out in the corner, and then the whistles got blown.
The box out in the corner is one of the lamer plays I've ever seen in my life.
You're not a big fan of that? You're no. Fine with, like, passing it back and forth, yeah. And if you're actually, like, giving it a chance.
And then they realize, like, wait, we just go to the corner, keep firing it off guys' shins. For some reason, that really irks me. But, yeah, I don't disagree with that text. Time-wasting might even be worse than flopping. I can
yeah,
see where that would
bus
be.
Parking might be
would
worse
be even
for
more
the,
frustrating.
Yeah, parking the bus is worse for the game of soccer than watching someone flop.
I don't agree with it, but I can see the merit of it. What would you say is more frustrating to you, flopping or time-wasting?
Time-wasting, because I can understand that with flopping, it's to a discretion, and maybe he did get harder than it hit harder than it looks like on first glance. And time-wasting is just an annoying game plan, and parking the bus is just an annoying game plan to start with. So for me as a fan, I think time wasting is more annoying because I'm one of those that kind of not necessarily defends flopping, but has more of an understanding to it's just going to happen.
Christian, what in soccer is called the golden generation? I'm seeing that term being thrown around.
Oh, so that was Belgium's golden generation that they should have won a World Cup with Lukaku, De Bruyne, Eden Hazard, all that.
Second hour of the show coming up when we return. We saw Jay Cutler make his reality TV show debut. I'm going to ask Christian what quarterback he'd most like to see on a reality show. That's coming up with so much more. Sports Fan Radio 1330. Sports Fan Radio 1330. Jake Logley, Christian Hager, good to be with you. Apparently I woke up Christian. It's about time we finally got there. Belgium's out of the World Cup, so he's in a little bit
they're
of
mourning
right
now. They're not out of the World Cup.
Oh, they're playing in the third place game.
That's not out of the World Cup.
Well, for all intents and purposes. Could there be any game where people try any less hard than a third place game in the World Cup?
No, I think they do. Because why not? We're there anyway. It's still a pretty big moment.
See, but like for athletes that aren't getting paid for time served, the why not thing doesn't travel very far, I don't think. Like I'm not going to watch paid, I'm though. Not going to watch the third place game.
It's going to be really funny if Croatia wins though tomorrow, because then that third place game is just going to be so much better than the championship. Because, sorry not sorry, France is going to run all over Croatia if they win this game. There's no chance.
That's why soccer is so frustrating to me. Because there's a chance Croatia beats England. Croatia beats France.
Because...
And then France and England is also could be close.
Well, France-England would be a really good game. But England has been... Never has been the battle of consistency the past couple of years. And Croatia has won these games by just being super, super defensive, and it's a really kind of boring brand. But England is a team that could get down on themselves or be inconsistent, whereas France, we saw it this game. It was 0-0. It was 0-0 at half, and France can play a defensive brand. Like, they can play a better defensive brand than Croatia. So if Croatia comes in there and tries to play that, it's not going to work, and they're just going to out-muscle them. So that's why I think an England-France game would be a little bit more open, more fun to watch, and also a little bit closer than Croatia-France.
Well, we'll know by this time tomorrow what our World Cup final is, what our third place game is, and now I know what I'm rooting for, as per Christian Hager's astute analysis. Christian, over the weekend, something we didn't get to yesterday because we just had too much going on in terms of we had to get all the Bulls news out there, talk about that. Baseball news over the weekend, everything else that was going on, we just didn't really have time to get to it. What we didn't get to was one of my favorite things to see people live react to. I did not watch it, but watching Twitter react to it was almost as good, and that was Kristen Cavallari's reality show, of which Jay Cutler is playing a major role, and the clips of him or the clips of people talking about him have been nothing short of absolute gold, from Kristen Cavallari talking about their bedroom life to Cutler just shooting all the eye rolls that we used to see him do on the sidelines and be like, is that just his personality? Like, is he just like a bad guy? And then you're kind of learning more like, yeah, that's just him. He's just being very real when he's not being too high, not being too low, just really riding out the storm.
And he really just doesn't want to go back to work. He wants to do the exact opposite of that.
Yeah, and I don't blame him, because he made a boatload of money, so why would I go get concussed some more?
Yeah, but he won't officially retire. That's my favorite part, is that he keeps saying this, but he won't officially retire.
No.
I don't want to work, but hey, if you want to pay me some more money, I guess. I think it's, I don't want to work, I don't want to go talk about football, but if someone will pay me to go sit on the bench, bet. And I can get out of this reality show as much as possible, even better.
So it brings the question to me. If boring Jay Cutler, milquetoast Jay Cutler, is already this fun to watch. Now, this is also the quarterback that I know. If this is just because I'm too entrenched in the Jay Cutler story, so that this became a lot more interesting to me than other quarterbacks. But I just want to know what the NFL quarterback would be that would generate the most interesting television. We've seen Tom versus Time. It was just him watching film. It was basically just a game tape as to how to live your life as a performance athlete. It wasn't really like that interesting in terms of his personality or quirks that he has, other than maybe kissing his son on the lips for too long. But that's
a different thing.
That's not what I'm talking about.
It's fine.
What quarterback or quarterbacks would you most be interested in seeing documented on a reality television show? Cam Newton. Brady would be up there.
We already saw it. It's not that fun.
When he was playing, I'd like to see the same Tom versus Time with Peyton Manning.
Peyton's fine, but no, it's definitely Cam Newton, and it's not close.
Jameis Winston.
That's not, we're not going
for the
there.
Wrong reasons.
That's too dark. We can't go there. But Cam Newton.
Listen, Jameis Winston's done horrible thing after horrible thing.
But also, he's really, really fun to listen to when he gets going. We're going to eat the W.
The eat the W.
We strong. If you strong, I'm strong. We strong.
The first part of Hard Knocks, when they showed where he grew up,
mm-hmm.
and the bed he slept in, and this, all the siblings, I was this close to understanding or to having compassion for James Winston.
Mm-hmm.
Because the rape accusation never came to fruition. The crab legs thing we kind of learned was kind of a crapshoot.
Someone just giving him crab legs.
And then eventually someone just seeing a black guy walking out of a supermarket with crab legs without paying for them, and they start screaming. Then he does the Uber thing, and I'm totally off the ship. But there was a point in time where Jameis Winston, I was like, listen, I don't know the first thing about where this guy came from. I don't know the first thing about that life. So maybe I just need to learn more about him. Now then I dropped off Hard Knocks because it loses steam every single year. But that, I don't think it's too dark. I mean, listen, he a wildly inappropriate thing that he's going to get suspended for. And one more thing, and he's out. And I don't blame him. I don't blame the NFL for laying that mandate down. But that doesn't mean that he's not an interesting character still.
Kirk Cousins? So we can figure out what the heck he's doing on the grill?
Those beef livers he grills every holiday?
At least he got the tinfoil out of there. That's such a terrible move.
Tinfoil on the grill?
Tinfoil on steak on the grill. He was grilling steaks on tinfoil.
Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, but you could say Baker and Johnny would kind of be the
same
thing.
Here's the thing. I think Ben Roethlisberger is darker than Jameis.
Yeah, but also not that great of a reality TV show. It's Cam, and
Rogers?
It's not close. No.
Rogers?
I don't care. He's Rogers manufactured.
Rogers is a weirdo.
But
he believes in UFOs. He eats turkey and vegan burgers. He's a weird bird, man. I want to get to know him more. He's got the biggest chip on his shoulder of all time.
Because then it would just become, we'd be annoyed because we're not hearing more about the family drama. And then it just becomes,
I don't care about the family drama.
Yeah, but a large majority of people would just want to watch it for that. I just don't think it would be that interesting because I feel like a lot of his persona is just manufactured because he's supposed to be the superstar.
Blake Bortles?
Absolutely not.
Big Daddy?
Absolutely not.
You don't want to watch a TV show?
No.
Rolls around Blake Bortles probably drinking too much non-light beer?
No.
Too much Bud Diesel?
Sorry, no.
Come on.
Nope.
Why?
Not even a little bit.
Why?
Russell Wilson?
He was in the NFC Championship. No. AFC Championship. Let's rewind. Why a dismissive out-of-hand no to Big Daddy?
Because I just don't see it. I just don't see the potential there. He's had a couple good quotes here and there, but I just don't see the potential there.
Phil Rivers and his 9 kids?
No,
basically Octodad.
Not.
Basically Octodad.
No, because half the show is just going to be him showing off his collection of bolo ties.
My olive branch with the Rat Stafford.
Nah, I don't think he'd be that. I mean, he's fun to watch, and he has some good quotes here and there, but I don't see a good reality show there. But absolutely.
Thank you for covering up for me.
Absolutely, Russell Wilson.
The Danger Russ Wilson, the most boring man on planet Earth?
Yes, because that would make for great television. We're talking about how Jay Cutler being so nonchalant.
Literally
eye-rolling.
Ask me any question. Ask me any question on planet Earth. Now I'm Russell Wilson. Ask literally about any subject, any angle, ask me any question.
Do you believe the Earth is flat?
Man, God's so good.
But see, that would be how great it would be, is because we have the superstar, the star life of Ciara with Russell Wilson just kind of just chilling. Just doing what he was doing in the Kiki Challenge video. Just
hanging in the background.
Just grooving a little bit.
Cam Newton just simply because, I mean, Cam Newton's, I mean, you also was very patronizing in the last 12 months to a reporter, also has made numerous mistakes.
Mm-hmm. He got kicked out of Florida, things like that.
Kicked out of Florida. Definitely accepted money from A&M and then didn't go there. But, you know, we forget about that part.
I just feel like he is, just with the trash talk and everything that Cam Newton does, is probably the best reality show
option. Cam Newton. If you got a better one, 815-874-1330.
Are you agreeing with me?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think Bortles you're giving enough credit to. Guys, I definitely don't want to see Andrew Luck.
Dear Patricia, we've been out on the battlefield for 15
Jimmy
days.
Jimmy Garoppolo, don't want to see that one at all. Because I've seen like an interview with him where he like goes back to Chicago, like the 49ers produced, like Jimmy Garoppolo goes back home piece, and he's just rough go. Like, listen, if he was that talented, that good looking, and really charismatic,
it wouldn't be fair.
No, he would be the worst. Like, I just have to despise him.
But so, no charisma.
At least with two out of three, I'm like, all right, you can exist.
You can exist.
You can exist and me not hate you.
We are at 69 yes, 31 no.
Nice. Nice result.
It's a real nice result.
Our question of the day. Are the Brewers officially a better team if they were to acquire Manny Machado? A lot of people trying to say they are now. They're not right now. They could be, and I think probably are, if they trade for Manny. They're not right now. 7-game series, I bet the Cubs. Today. Maybe they had another starter that might change. Machado?
That's a fun series. I think it's a fun series now, but it's even more fun with Machado.
It is maybe the best the NL could offer if Machado were on the Brewers.
No, it's probably still Dodgers-Cubs.
Wait a second. But if we're talking about the Brewers potentially being better than the Cubs as Machado's in, and the Cubs are the... So the Dodgers are still the best team in the NL? The Dodgers are the best team in the NL right now?
Not right now, no.
So how do they jump either of those two teams?
I think Cubs, Dodgers, because of
the
star power, the history, I think it still would be the best case scenario in the NL.
I know the Dodgers smoked them last year. I don't feel like that's a rivalry. I don't feel that way about the Dodgers.
I don't see it as a rivalry, but I think
I would much rather watch Brewers Cubs.
It would build the rivalry, and we talked about that a lot, that what do they need to build that rivalry and make it legitimate?
Playoff series?
Yeah.
Now, the best they could do is probably a 5-gamer, because a wild card game, and then the other one's probably going to be a top seed in the division.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a crazy turn of events to get a 7-gamer out of those two teams, but man, oh man, that's our question of the day. You can comment on Facebook. You can vote on Twitter. You can also call in 815-874-1330. Are the Brewers a better team if they acquire Manny Machado? And of course, they're playing better right now. They have a better record. They're a game and a half ahead in the division, but are they a better team just on paper, just objectively? Because baseball's fickle. You can be the best team in baseball on paper and not have the best record in baseball. Might not even win your division on a given year if a team gets hot enough at the right time. But that's our question of the day. We'll be taking your answers throughout the remainder of the show. We're going to hit our first break of the second hour. Don't go anywhere. Here's Dan Patrick with Above the Noise. You're listening to Sports Fan Radio 1330.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Now that the dust is settling on NBA free agency, it's time to figure out exactly where we are.
Sports Fan Radio, 1330. Jake Logley, Christian Hager, it's good to be with you. 3:17 in the afternoon. We appreciate you so much. 815-874-1330, the number if you want to call in to answer our question of the day. If the Brewers acquire Manny Machado, they already have a lead in the Central Division, but I think that's just because the Cubs aren't playing well right now, or maybe a little bit underachieving, even at 51-37. I think we all understand there's still some problems to be solved with the Cubs. Starting pitching has been a gigantic problem. Bullpen not that far behind, and hitting inconsistent, if good at all. So, with all those problems, and you're still close, you're still probably a better team. But if I were to add a top 7 player in the league to the Brewers, all of a sudden that's a different conversation. I mean, Manny Machado would be objectively, just on a one-on-one basis, better than anyone the Cubs could offer. I mean, in baseball, it's not the same thing as like basketball or even football, in my opinion. But if you have the best player on either team at a key spot, then your odds of being the better team increase exponentially. In basketball, it's almost always true. It's really hard to not have the best player on either team and still be a worse team. Now, the Cavs did it with the Warriors, but that's the best player in the game going against the greatest team ever assembled. That's an exception, not a rule. The Patriots are almost always better than the other team by virtue of the fact they have Tom Brady on the field. Packers go through that same thing a lot. they played a lot deeper teams, ended up being a better team because they have A-Rod. In baseball, not always the case. You could have a transcendent player on your team. Does that make you the better team? No. You got to hit all the way through your line. You still got to have someone throwing the baseball. Your third baseman has very little effect on how many home runs you give up. It's very hard to just acquire the best player and just be wildly considered the best team. But that's our question of the day. You can comment on our Facebook poster, our little flyer we put up there. We had a poll running on Twitter's at SportsFan1330 if you'd rather vote there. We're getting a lot of votes in. We're trying to get that number as high as possible for a good sample size. So if you are a tweeter, be sure to check us out there. SportsFanRockford.com, our brand new website. Full-length episodes of Randy and Company and of the Jake Locally Show here in the afternoon up on our website now, both fully updated through the 9th Randy and Company's morning episode from this morning, already up there. Randy is out this week. Paul Larko and Mike Morig are taking the reins for Monday or Tuesday through Thursday. So they were in today. They'll be in the next 2 days. I know Jordan's having a lot of fun hanging out with all these co-hosts, all the company, if you would. Doubling up and having some fun in the mornings from 6 to 8 a.m. every day. Sports Fan Rockford, the new website. Christian, World Cup going on right now. That's your sport. That is your project.
My project.
Your project is to get the world to accept that soccer is a legit sport. Not a legit sport. Everyone knows it's a legit sport. But a sport worth their time, attention, and I think soccer's already capturing people's time. It should capture people's emotions maybe in the same way. They should invest emotionally in soccer the same way they do in other sports.
Yeah.
I think part of it is you do not bind yourself to geographical allegiances.
Because I don't have to. Well, because
has to.
But it'd be really difficult.
No one. Well, you're from Iowa, so relax. But also,
yeah, we don't have any pro teams. It's fine.
Everyone doesn't have to. What would you say the overwhelming of Iowa fans are a fan of a pro football team?
Pro football team?
Yeah. Are there any trends whatsoever?
Maybe Packers, a little bit of Bears.
Yeah.
But it's mostly Cubs.
Lots of Broncos.
That was my mom. It wasn't anyone in that. My dad was a Redskins fan.
Okay, but backing up the point that Iowa football fans pick weird allegiances because all they have is Hawkeye football.
Yeah, the Hawkeye football is the pro football
team. But because of your life experience, because of your mind state, that doesn't have to bear a lot of... I know you're defensive about it, but I'm just saying, I mean, that's the reality of it.
No, I'm not defensive about it. No, what I'm saying is it's a weird sample size because outside of maybe the Cubs, like I said, the Cubs are probably the only one that there's really any consistency with.
And they were on TV.
I think there's maybe a couple Cardinals here and there, but yeah, I would say Cubs.
Because of your growing up and not having to lock yourself into NFL, NHL, and NBA teams, MLB teams that are geographically the closest to you. You have no problem picking up a soccer team that's 12 hours away. That's not a big deal for you. Because it's not all your sports allegiances have Illinois or Chicago in it. Or Rockford, if you're me and you're a big Ice Hawks fan. For me, that's a little bit harder. All my sports teams have Chicago in the front, or it's the University of Illinois. And that's just because that's where my dad went to law school. That's where he took me to games when I was young. So it's harder for me to really care, and I say Tottenham's my Premier League team. Tough for me to really emotionally invest in the same way. Because there's no chance of going to games. Every year when the Blackhawks schedule comes out, me and my brothers are always looking at what's a game that's around Thanksgiving? Or do they play in New York since one of them's out there? Cubs, someone's always buying a 7-game package and trying to sell a few, go to a few, or buy single gamers. Because you can go. People are talking about it on the radio, on local talk stations. It's what your friends are talking about. It's really easy to be a sports fan when it's localized, when it's tribal in that way. And it's your environment. It's not just what you can follow the right people on Twitter. I think part of the reason that soccer doesn't catch at the highest level, because MLS isn't that high quality, and that's the most localized we get. And to go out and just say, I'm a Chelsea fan. It's hard for a lot of fans that grew up in a place like Rockford because most of their allegiances are tied into their geographic location. I think that's part of it. So they'll watch, just like I do. That's reflected in the ratings. Is there the passion? And is that available to American soccer fans based on the fact that most of them have come up with sports based on these are my teams because this is what my family does, this is where I live, and so these are my teams.
Well, I think I've told the story that the only reason that I really got into soccer was watching a Champions League final with Manchester United in it, and it goes to PKs, and I watch Rooney and Ronaldo, and both of them just kind of capture my attention during that game. They both had great games. So obviously then, all right, okay, so this team looks fun. I'll start following them, and then Ronaldo moves teams, but I still follow Ronaldo type of thing. So it kind of, I lucked into it.
But that's also what you did with the Ducks, not just lucking into it, but you just found an affiliation with them.
Yeah, that was because of the movie, things like that.
Right.
But I would say that would be my...
Again, backing up my narrative that you don't hold yourself to geographic team affiliations or familial.
Outside of the Bulls and White Sox, but...
But that with the Broncos and having a Chicago team and having a Chicago hockey team, I can't claim that because that's just, you know, what you fell into.
Yeah.
You just picked them.
But the... I would say to anyone wanting to pick up soccer, or they even if they don't want to and they watch it, but that's what you have to do. I mean, you've said it's easier for me, but it should be pretty easy for anyone because there are no... Here's the thing. You're saying it's harder because it's farther away to grow that passion. Okay,
because I have no other... You have affiliation that's 2 hours away and affiliation that's 4 hours away.
I understand this. No. I get this.
Friends are talking about Ducks hockey. None of your friends are talking about Broncos football. All my friends talk about Cubs baseball. All my friends talk about Bears football. So it's easy for me to get caught up in that... This is the most important thing. That's what sports is, right? Sports is deluding yourself into thinking this is an important thing.
We're in the internet generation now. It's not that hard to join a Manchester United
fan club. Yeah, but you know how bad of a millennial I am.
Okay, that's you. I'm talking about the people that are driving TV ratings right now are the people that are on the internet. And they're the ones that are going to show up to a bar because they saw it on the Manchester United watch page.
People deep in internet culture are not driving TV ratings because they're not paying for TV.
Not deep in internet culture, but
you
everyone
talked about
has
an internet fan club, Christian. You're so far in it. That's not what people do.
I'm not in a fan club. You follow a couple people. You see a couple people tweeting about it. You start following.
So I got a couple people following them on Twitter. Now I'm supposed to have a deep affiliation and a deep passion for
There's
a soccer team.
There's one account. It builds from that point. I'm saying it's a lot easier now than it used to be.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't
question.
It's that difficult.
No
You're
question.
Making it seem like it's impossible, and I don't think it is.
Because of this
at the end
tribal.
Of the day, yes, it is tribal. But guess what? What's the biggest, most easily accessible tribe in the world? Social media. People on social media.
Right.
And breaking off little sects in there. That is why social media jumps in at such a young age. For people that are on the outskirts. For people that feel left out. For anyone that needs something that they feel they can connect with. That is what... That void that is filled by the internet, and it's so easily accessible. There's so many different social media platforms, and it's only growing in usership that it's really not that difficult. At the end of the day, the hardest thing about soccer is probably the time. Waking up at 9 a.m. to watch a game. Waking up at 11 a.m. We got kind of lucky that we got a couple 1 p.m. games.
I wake up to watch the Bears play for an 8 a.m. game in London.
Okay. That's one game out of the year. It's not every single Saturday.
I do it every week.
8 a.m.
Yeah.
For a London. Okay. Yeah,
100%.
That's your team. 100%. And hopefully eventually.
Because I have the emotional attachment that
yes.
was built in.
And
from
I'm saying
having
that
it.
this can come, and it's a lot easier to come now because of the internet.
Easier does not mean easy.
No, but easier.
But I'm saying you're still making up a chasm. You've now made up 4 feet. In the scheme of a canyon.
That's better than it was, and it's only going to keep going. That is my point, is that we have severely underestimated the last 20 years, how quickly the internet was going to catch on and how much it was going to take over daily lives. And it's probably just going to keep going.
See, I think that
you are seeing less and less regional affiliation with sports teams.
No, I don't think that's true. I think you have less regional affiliation with sports teams.
I definitely do, but I'm seeing it more and more. Like, oh, you're a random, like, you're seeing it with the rise, the thing that I will complain about, but that you also have complained about. We have an entire sect that is LeBron fans.
Yeah.
That have no affiliation to any team whatsoever. It's not that difficult to then think, we talked about this, we teased at it a little bit, that all of a sudden you have Cristiano Ronaldo fans mm-hmm. that don't care what team he's at. They'll watch a couple Italian League games. They'll watch Champions League games because Cristiano Ronaldo's there, because Messi's there.
See, I just think it's more, you get more emotionally invested when things outside, now listen, I think we're both on two sides of a spectrum here because I don't put a lot of stock in that internet conversation and you do. And we're probably both need to come towards the middle of that in that regard. But what gets me interested in sports games when I get really emotionally invested is when I'm talking with my friends about it. When signs up at restaurants and buildings are promoting it and acting like it's a big deal and we're talking trash and we're doing all these things localized, when it's really in your immediate environment, when you're talking around the water cooler at your lame desk job, which luckily, thank God, I don't have, that's when it gets interesting. If I only see it through the lens of my phone or my computer screen and that's where the conversation solely lies, I'm out. I'm interested. I could be intrigued. I'm not emotionally invested in that same way.
And all social media is a water cooler conversation on steroids.
Sure, but I'm
all it is trash talking on steroids.
No. I'm disconnected from that though.
Because you have your regional affiliations, because you chose to a certain extent to break out of the mold of what our generation was and the generation right below us. You decided to kind of wean yourself off of it to a certain degree, correct?
Maybe.
A little bit.
Sure.
What I'm saying is, that's great, and I understand the appeal of that, and I do think that is a big deal, because right. It's the same thing we talk about with movies. It's the same thing we talk about with TV shows. It's the reason why Game of Thrones took off, mm-hmm. is because if you weren't watching it, you weren't in the conversation. And it's the same part of the sports. If you're with sports outside of regional affiliations, if you're not watching the Super Bowl, you're not a part of the conversation. You're not talking about the commercials. You're not able to have that conversation. With the internet, it is that water cooler conversation. It is that trash talk between friends. But everything is the biggest deal in the world, just on steroids and in a larger sample size.
But I'm not having the conversation with people across the globe. I'm having it with people that are just 20 minutes away. We just happen to be communicating on this platform. So it's still the regional conversation. It's still hyper-local. It just happened to be on a platform that someone in Taiwan could see.
You could, I think, you yourself, yes, but I think there's a...
Right, but that's all I can talk about.
Yeah, I think there's a random, like we talked about, necessarily going all the way into NBA Twitter. But you go to... There's something I don't do that a lot of people do, is you do the hashtag for the game. Yeah. There's a specified hashtag for the game. People will go click on that hashtag on Facebook or on Twitter
and start interacting with people
in that hashtag that have also tweeted out that hashtag.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I could develop like a profile on Reddit and start going into all these subreddits and developing a rapport and developing a character, developing a persona, and then start interacting with people. People start to get to know me by that handle and things of that nature. And you can do that. But that's a real deep dive that no one's going
to
make.
No, but it's a lot easier to look at the trending topics on Facebook or the trending topics on Twitter, see, oh, there's a sports game, which if you look now, when there's a major sports game going on, it pops up in the top of your Twitter feed. And you click in on it, and it just brings up a feed of the conversation that's happening. So you're seeing anyone that has made any mention about a player, game, team, anything from that game, and then you jump into the conversation there. And then all of a sudden, if something becomes trending with the algorithms on Facebook and Twitter now, even if you're not following the person...
Facebook got rid of trending. Did you see that?
The news, yeah.
Yeah.
But the algorithms will still pop up if a lot of your friends have liked it, mm-hmm. or if it's becoming very popular, all of a sudden it's going to pop up in your newsfeed. And then you're like, oh, what's going on? Oh, this sports game's going on? Okay, I have nothing else going on. I'll turn it on. And then start interacting.
Point being, people have so much ground to make up with soccer. Because I was born with Chicago Cubs baseball and Bears football and Illinois football and Bulls basketball. That was from birth. And I had two brothers and a dad that were all into it. And that was my life. Now, you're telling me with between all of that stuff, with work, with relationships, with friendships, with all the social interaction, now I have to go through that whole process over again with a sport that I probably, my life doesn't feel it if I miss it. Point is, that's asking a lot of people to develop that same emotional attachment that they've had with teams since they were born, since they were 3 years old and they were put in Bears onesies or Packers onesies. That's a lot of ground to make up.
That's a lot of ground to make up, but everything is sped up. And also, I don't think we're asking for or necessarily need that full to go through the ringer with that team. You can speed it up on the internet and act like you're a pretty big fan, even though you didn't wake up, watch the game, you just watched the box score, or you caught the last 15 minutes.
Right. But why am I supposed to do that? Why am I supposed to pretend like I'm watching games when I don't?
Why does anyone do it? It's just becoming more and more of a thing. We talked about cell phone Cubs fans. We talked about cell phone fans of any team.
No, but we're talking about why soccer is not catching on. It's because people don't have emotional investment. They don't have emotional. We're talking about that, not about people.
Yeah,
acting
they don't
like
have. They don't have emotional investment, but you can kind of manufacture emotional investment.
Why does
pretty
that?
Quick.
Why is there any obligation, or why would people feel any need to manufacture emotional attachment?
If it's what's being talked about, why does anyone have emotional attachment in the World Cup? And
I'm saying they don't. That's what we're talking about. That's the subject.
But the ratings have been up, so people are putting it on because
time,
they want to see
interest,
it.
not investment. This is full circle now. That's exactly what I said to start this conversation. People are clearly parting with their time. Are they carving it into the things they're passionate about in the same way they are with other sports? I don't think so. I think they're watching because that's all going on.
But my point being, I think it can be sped up, and I think there is a lane that's visible that has not been visible there
Sports
before.
Sports Fan Radio 1330 question of the day. Are the Brewers a better team with Machado than the Cubs? Were they to make that deal? You can answer on Facebook in the comments section. Vote on Twitter, 815-874-1330. If you want to contribute, answer that question or anything else we're talking about. We're going to hit a break. Back with more after this. Sports Fan Radio 1330. Sports Fan Radio 1330. Jake Logley, Christian Hager, good to be with you. 3:41 in the afternoon. Thanks for joining us. Spirited discussion, last segment about soccer in the U.S. We've covered it from a lot of different angles today. I had the thought this morning about the fact that, you know, I'm even willing to watch a soccer game. Lost money on France today. They won, but not by enough. Or Belgium didn't carry their weight and scoring enough goals. I'm willing to give soccer my time. I'm not willing to give it any of my heart. I think that's the interesting distinction, right?
Yeah.
I'll watch it. I can even be entertained by it. But I never, for a moment, even if my team is losing, the team I'm deciding to cheer for that day, I never get that down about it. I never feel wronged in any way. Even when we were watching Brazil-Belgium, right, and we were on the two sides of the same coin, that was my team in the death pool, immediately over it. Like in reality.
This is insane because this is the most you've ever sounded like Drake. But just such a melody. I'll give you my time, but not my heart.
Oh, is that a Drake line?
No, but it just sounds like
maybe
such a millennial
listen too much
song
to Scorpion.
Lyric.
Listening to Scorpion too much.
Basically, we need soccer to become Drake, though. Like, people just listen because they want to be a part of the conversation.
And
they don't really like it. They're kind of nonchalant about it. But, hey, it's still making money, and
like,
it's still...
If I just had to summarize it, I'd just say I'm upset.
Oh, are you?
On soccer, I'm about an 8 out of 10. Listen, man, it's just God's plan, though. God. It's just God's plan.
You have definitely listened to too much of Scorpion. You've probably listened to more Scorpion than me. And that's
I know three songs off of it, man. 8 out of 10, I only know because he mentions Max Holloway in it.
Oh,
and that's my boy in the USC.
That's why.
Max Blessed Holloway. Mm. That's all I got off Scorpion. But I at least got three in there, so at least I feel like I'm vindicated. Anything that you feel that you want to hammer home in that discussion, because you advocate for people to invest in the same way. You've picked up emotional investments in a soccer team. Listen, here's how far away I am from that. I doubt that even you are really that emotionally invested in Man U teams. Like, I don't trust it. Like, I believe you because you tell me, yes, and I have no reason to really doubt it. But just because I can't even imagine being there, I'm suspicious. I'm a little suspicious. I don't trust it.
I'm not going
to... I feel like you just want to be hipster sports fan.
I think it started off like that.
Yeah.
But I
That's
think
a good moment of honesty.
With enough time spent and waking up, and like I told you, listening to podcasts. I mean, there was one summer where I just said, you know, I'm going to get in on this. And I listened to soccer podcasts. I started following along with transfer windows to the point where they've gone through four manager changes since I started being a fan.
Yeah.
I've seen RVP come and go. I've seen Wayne Rooney leave now, which was basically the last bastion outside of maybe Ashley Young of that original team that I started following. And I could have jumped ship and just said, all right, now I'm a Real fan and now a Juventus fan.
No, I'm not saying switch teams. I'm not saying you could bunny hop from team to team. I'm just saying...
But I'm saying the fact that I've managed to follow along with all the tournaments, with all the cups, with everything like that, through manager changes, through team changes, I feel like now I can officially be upset, or I can be happy when they do well, or be upset because now I'm starting to care about youth players. I'm starting to worry that they're going to lose Anthony Marshall for nothing.
Yep.
I'm starting to feel attachment to these young up-and-coming players. Jesse Lingard is playing really well for England right now as a Man U guy. Things like that is when you start to pick up on the youth players and you start to grow an attachment to these players up-and-coming, and that's when you officially become a fan. Like, you can jump in on...
Hey, listen, I...
You can jump in... Here... You can jump in being in Chicago, living in Chicago in the 90s. You can jump in with the Bulls trade. You can be a big Michael Jordan fan, but he leaves. Does your interest wane? Probably a little bit, but then you start to see, all right, early 2000s, they get, and which doesn't work out.
Shocking, by the
shocking.
Way.
But then when you start to love the young Bulls, you start to fall in love with Ben Gordon, Kirk Heinrich, and it starts to reignite your fan base. And then all of a sudden, Derrick Rose. And that really reignites your thing. The fact that you went through that down and then started to pick up on young players, I don't think the true emotional attachment is there until
you stink.
Not till you stink, but...
Because you jumped into the best soccer team in the game. Most consistently good soccer team in the game.
Yeah, the biggest soccer team.
Yeah.
Until
the Lakers of soccer.
Until they don't win a Champions League, until they aren't winning the Premier League every single year. But the same thing with any sport. You can get a team because you're close, because it's the regional affiliation, but I don't think you have an emotional investment until you go through a full cycle of a team. Because it's really easy to jump on and have a favorite player right away, but when you lose that favorite player and you have to find who else am I going to be emotionally invested in their performance. When Urlacher left, when Devin Hester leaves, things like that, you have to find the next guy. And a lot of people put their eggs in the Forte basket. A lot of people put their eggs in now the Mitch Trubisky basket. It's all about losing, because it's when it comes down to sports, I think we do not talk about how important individual players are to your... Because we don't want to be player jumpers. We don't want to be team jumpers. We don't want to be just fans of individual players. But even still, even if this is your team and you're going to stick with that team, those individual players is why you end up loving that team. The reason why Blackhawks fandom became so annoying is because everyone fell in love with Cade and Taze so hardcore. we'll see the real Blackhawks fans when they
start stick around for the next wave.
Mm-hmm.
Sports Fan Radio 1330, we are wrapping up Hour 2 when we return. Don't go anywhere. Jake Logley, Christian Hager, we're back after this. Sports Fan Radio 1330. No, you got to give me some gas again. And it must have been something you said. All right, now get it out of here. Sports Fan Radio 1330. It's Jake Logley, Christian Hager.
It's not like I'm tossing records off the record player. Just get it out of here.
Yeah, do like the needle ripping on the wood. I don't even know what that sound is, but we made it.
That was like a rewind sound.
You know what? For that sound, hit me with a kiki. hit the kiki. I feel like I earned that.
How did you earn that?
I feel like kiki, it has to be like when you mess up. You have to get hit with a kiki.
No, you get hit with a... What? That's what you get hit with. Or you get hit with...
That's a bunch of malarkey.
When your take
Thank
is
you,
terrible.
Joe Biden. Thank you, Joe Biden.
That's what you get hit with. We have not figured out what kiki is for yet.
Oh, but we have to put it in there.
Somewhere, somehow... Kiki will be used for something. Don't you worry.
Oh, man. We got a little bit into the soccer talk.
Just a little bit.
For like the last half hour.
Oh, and we got to say real quick, because we've alluded to it, but we just never actually said it, but well, Cristiano Ronaldo going to Juventus.
Yes, that news broke. And then to kick off the 4 o'clock hour, I want to try to find the right comparison for an American sport. What would it be like in American sports, one of the big four? A player going to team X, Y, or Z and trying to find the appropriate comparison so non-soccer fans can feel exactly what the impact of this is. This is a...
No, because I need the break to figure out a good comparison for
Yeah,
you.
Yeah. No, absolutely. That's why we're doing it at 4 o'clock. We also got to talk about CBS college football article that made me laugh. The Bears Madden ratings are at, and Mitch Trubisky is getting slept on just to an insane degree. We'll talk about that in the 4 o'clock hour. So we got a lot to get to. We're just kind of trying to tie a bow on that soccer conversation we were having about the fact that, you know, I'm trying to be, make it as personal to me as possible. Cause that's really all I can do. Maybe this is a question of the day tomorrow of were you able to pick up a sports affiliation after your formative years? How hard is it to do after the age of 7 or 8 or 9? After kind of when life, maybe it's 13, 14, 15, when you start being social. I mean, really social, and you start getting some autonomy over who you're spending time with. Because all of a sudden, then life gets really hard. Like, it's really messy. Like, it's really complicated. And I don't have, like, the free spirit to just... Because at the end of the day, it's very much like a caveman instinct, the way we care about sports teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's very guttural, instinctual, ancestral in a way.
There's no nuance to it.
No, it's just, this is my group, and these are my people, and I don't like those people because they wear these colors, and they root for that team, and so I don't like them. And listen, that's fine. Like, there's a time and place for that. Like, I'm not trying to hate on you if you're, like, an ardent sports fan and you think it matters. I'm just telling you, like...
Side note, real quick. Shout out to the World Cup fans in Russia. I'm not sure if you saw this. That did the hidden rainbow flag. So, pride flags were banned in Russia by law. So, they got the colors of the World Cup teams that matched up with a rainbow and posed for pictures next to police officers in Russia and in public places to be a pride flag.
Wow.
That's really cool.
That's good old fashioned ingenuity right there. Sports Fan Radio 1330. That's our second hour of the show. Hour 3 is coming up when we return. Sports Fan Radio 1330. Sports Fan Radio 1330 is live and on the air from the beautiful Sandy Hollow Studios, Rockford, Illinois. Good to be with you. The sun has slightly tucked away behind some of those clouds in the sky, but still 89 degrees, feels like 87 with a little bit more humidity, a little bit less, I should say, than we have been getting in days past. Christian Hager been spending the first 2 hours with us. He will hang around for the remainder of the show as well. I've been trying my best to get under his skin, and based on how that's been going, he might just decide that he's had enough, and frankly, it had been a long time coming, so whenever it reaches its boiling point, I will just say, Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm not surprised by this.
No, it would not be really big news. Well, Christian, let's continue the soccer conversation for just a little bit longer because you mentioned it. We got the final confirmed news earlier in the day that Cristiano Ronaldo, in my opinion and in your opinion, the greatest player in the game and the greatest player of all time, is moving teams after spending how many years with Real Madrid? Do you know that off the top of your head?
When he transferred 9 years.
9 years with Real Madrid.
Yeah, he transferred in 2009.
And now will join his third team, joining Juventus, which already is a decent club in the Italian Serie A.
Serie A.
And will join that club. They have already crashed every official team store on the internet trying to order number 7 Juventus jerseys. Trust me, I already tried to get my hands on one. Didn't work.
I like those jerseys. Yeah. I like the black stripes.
Right. Back in the very earliest of FIFA days, when I was first started learning how great it was, the PlayStation 2, and being mostly Italian in lineage, I had the affinity for having Italian teams, and Juventus was the Italian team that I chose. Since then, I've become more learned about the type of soccer I want to watch, and Premier League came to the forefront, and then Tottenham revealed itself after that, so I can't claim any affiliation, but I do like the Juventus jerseys.
Yeah,
and that probably also played a part in why I like them
from
the outset.
You're very big on aesthetic.
I'm a hashtag Team Uni guy. I am big on hashtag Uni Watch. It's kind of my favorite thing. I feel like I could be a consultant for any of those teams. And I don't want to do any like real work or like design anything. I just want to give thumbs up and thumbs down to like apparel companies that are doing team deals with Nike and Adidas and Under Armour, like college most specifically, because they're trying so hard to be cutting edge and then so many of them flop. I just want to be the guy that's like, that's terrible. Or, yeah, you nailed it.
I think, speaking of Uni Watch real quick, side note, that's why it's so much harder for me to hate City than it is to hate Chelsea, even though City's supposed to technically be the bigger rivals for United, because, God, I love powder blue so much.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't really like dark blue jerseys, so there you go. Darker blue.
Does it remind you of Cuppy blue?
Yeah, a little bit. Mm-hmm. Duke blue, more likely.
You hate Duke basketball more than the Chicago Cubs?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you like basketball way more. Probably just outweighs you. Probably like just it's like the Warriors Black more Hawks, than the Cubs.
Blackhawks. No, I don't have a problem with the Warriors.
Oh, yes, you do.
No, I
don't. You just don't know it yet.
Okay. I guess you're telling me something new here.
I'm delving into your mindset. Because they ruined your James Harden narrative,
Duke,
you're going to end up hating them.
Then Cubs.
Blackhawks, Duke, then Cubs.
Sounds about right.
Then the Bears.
No, the Bears are... What?
Bears have to be competition first, right?
Yeah, exactly. I don't care.
Well, let's stick with Ronaldo. We're going to get to the Bears in just a little bit. I'm trying to think of a fair comparison of
Peyton
what this
Manning
is.
To the Broncos.
Hey, bro. Well, I'm not saying it doesn't have to have had happened. It could be something that could happen or something that almost happened. Something that is totally made up, but you just want to plug a player and place him on a different team. But a real-life example, Peyton Manning to the Broncos...
He's a little bit younger.
Peyton didn't have Ronaldo doesn't have a catastrophic injury might or may or may not be recovering from.
No, but he didn't get paid that much for this transfer fee. This transfer fee was a lot lower than a lot of people were expecting.
It was 105 million euro, right?
Yeah, but that's still lower than what people were expecting, but he's also 33 years old.
Well, it was kind of like the same thing as like a rental, right? He's probably going to walk no matter what, so why don't we get a little bit of cash for it while we can?
Exactly, that's why they dropped the fee. But no, it's hard because... He's coming off not a great season by his standards, but also you should be expecting that at this point. This is when soccer players normally take a dip in production when they get into the mid-30s. So I think Peyton Manning would be a decent example of someone joining a pretty good team already and just kind of being that last piece that will be complimentary. And not saying Ronaldo is going to get carried by the defensive prowess of Juventus, but they could get, not necessarily carried, but could be made a lot better and make a run because of the strength of the rest of that team in the Champions League.
Why did Ronaldo want to move in the first place?
Just tired of Real. I mean, there's been like problems with ownership for the last couple of years. And like I told you, I mean, this is partly just because it's United and he played for United, but last four summers it's been Ronaldo's coming back, Ronaldo's coming back, Ronaldo's coming back. This was the first time that we heard that the transfer fee had been dropped, that a team outside of United City, a team with a bunch of money, could go out and get him. PSG could go out and make a legitimate offer for him. But also it just gets kind of tiring to be playing on probably the second biggest club in the world, where Real, it's, you know, you have to win the Champions League or bust. Like, you have to beat Barca, and then you have to win the Champions League.
I wouldn't compare it directly to this because I don't know exactly what Juventus has on deck already in terms of their talent, whether it's older or younger, things of that nature. But I would consider this a move like if LeBron had jumped to Philly. If he had jumped to Philly, yeah, and made that team into an instant world-class contender.
They were already pretty good, already making moves, already, yeah.
You turned yourself into a above-average to good team to all of a sudden an odds-on favorite to be competing for the highest prize in your game. That's what Juventus does with adding Cristiano Ronaldo. All of a sudden, they might make the Champions League to now they might win the Champions League.
Manny Machado to the Brewers.
Mm.
I mean, it's not terrible. I mean, Juventus
is
still winning.
The best player in the game.
No, but at the end of the day, I like to call Ronaldo the best player in the game, but is he
the most effective player in the game
In the game right now? Probably not. Probably not.
Machado's neither. So
no, but I'm just saying, like, Juventus is a team that normally overperforms in the Champions League because they have some talent. Are gonna run away with the division now for sure. Serie A.
I saw one person earlier say Tom Brady to the Steelers.
Yeah, yeah, consistently win the AFC North. Yeah, it's AFC North, right? Yeah, they consistently win the AFC North. You're bringing in. Yeah, I actually like that a lot now that I'm thinking about it. They've never been terrible. They're normally contenders, but then you're adding the GOAT.
Fill in this blank for me. Sidney Crosby to the
Lightning?
That seems a little too stiff. Seems a little too impossible to beat. But I like that came to my head, and I was like, that just seems a little bit too close.
Nashville?
The Golden Knights?
But Golden Knights, but that's just like a flash in the pan. That's like
they're going to be pretty good again.
Maybe, but right now it's that would be Sidney Crosby or that would be Ronaldo going to
Sidney Crosby to San Jose.
Yeah, yeah. Finally getting over the hump with a pretty consistent team. Yeah, I like that. Or I think it would be more like Ovechkin going to the
Sharks. Yeah, but
Sharks.
Ovechkin is the Messi of the equation.
Absolutely not. It's completely the other way around, I think. But I also look at play style more than anything else.
Oh, you're thinking of play style. I'm just thinking of like world. I think, I don't know, maybe I don't know the soccer conversation, but it seems if I asked 100 people and asked who the greatest player in soccer was, I'd get more Ronaldos than Messi's.
It'd be really, really close. It's going to be...
No, 100 Americans, assuming their product knowledge level.
It's going to be 55-45, I think. I think it's going to be a lot closer than you expect.
Okay. Yeah, man, that is totally an acceptable outcome.
Definitely playstyle, Ovechkin is Ronaldo, yeah, and Messi is Crosby.
And that Messi is a little whining baby, and no one likes him?
Yeah, and more of a facilitator, and better handler of the puck, better ball handler. And if
Ovechkin doesn't get his way, he throws big hissy fits?
And Ronaldo and Ovechkin are just big physical freaks that just... knock in long balls and
how
long
tall
shots.
Is Cristiano Ronaldo?
Probably normal sized, but
right soccer. For soccer, he's just a mammoth. That's my question. How tall is he? Let's Google that.
Let's Google Cristiano Ronaldo's height.
I mean, let's take guesses before we hit search. I'm going to say 6'1". No. Okay, I'll stick with it.
6'1".
Yeah.
So I said average height. So I'm right there, 6'1".
I see Google spit out 6'2".
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, that is just the perfect human being.
Price is Right. I'm correct.
Correct.
If either of us went over, I would have said, doesn't count. If you said 6'3", I'd have said I won.
But yeah, I mean...
6'2", solid.
Solid, and obviously we saw
184 pounds.
We saw his leg muscles.
Yeah.
In the World Cup.
Oh, Ronaldo loves showing off his white leg muscles.
He loves showing off his abs, too.
Anywhere late in the game, those shorts come all the way up to the jock.
Because they're going to make him better. I'm not sure, like, if the leg muscles can breathe, it allows him to play better. And then, yeah, you only have to scroll down. If you go to the image shirts or if Cristiano Ronaldo.
Wait, I have a good question, though. It makes it hard for me to breathe, though.
Does it?
Yeah.
But, yeah, you only have to scroll down once, and then you get this.
You get those. After the match when you're trading jerseys.
No, but that's also one of his goal celebrations that he likes to do a lot.
Oh, he likes to rip the shirt off?
Yeah, if he scores a pretty big goal late in game, he rips the shirt off.
If I look like that, 184 pounds, 6'2", is he the perfect man? Probably.
Definitely the perfect man.
And yet the bust of him that some very well-respected Spanish artist may just look like absolute hot garbage.
Yeah, but they fixed it. So it's okay now. It's still not great.
We found a consensus as to what our best Ronaldo to Juventus comparison?
I like the Tom Brady to Steelers. I think that one works pretty well.
Aging quarterback that would potentially go to another good team in the NFL. Either Steelers or Falcons or somewhere like that.
Yeah. Okay. I don't mind that at all.
So soccer, anyone non-soccer fans that's wondering why is everyone making a big deal about this? That's why. It'd be like if Tom Brady were to move teams at this point in his career.
And also like 35% jump in Juventus' stock price.
Oh, actually, it's as if Tom Brady were to move in like 2014 or something because...
Yeah, he's 33. Ronaldo's 33. Still,
Tom Brady's 40. So...
And then you're still thinking, yeah, he maybe still gets an MVP there in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he definitely would. He might win the MVP in New England this year. So, craziness. Just crazy times. That's a lot of soccer talk for today. Let's move on to good old American football when we come back. We're going to hit...
Calm down, Greg. It's soccer. It's soccer.
Thank you for that. American football and video games, two of Christian's favorite things. They're both coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Sports Fan Radio, 1330. Sports Fan Radio, 1330. Jake Logley, Christian Hager. So happy you decided to make us a part of your day, 416 in the afternoon. 88 degrees currently in our state line. SportsFanRockford.com, the brand new website. You should check it out right now. SportsFanRockford.com. Get signed up for our bus trip down to the John Deere Classic. Time is running out, ladies and gentlemen. This Sunday, we're heading on the bus. And I know you don't have better plans. 75 of the best golfers on planet Earth. Collecting together in Moline this weekend.
But more importantly, Jake Logley.
150, actually, on Thursday. It'll be weaned down to 75 by the time we get there on the closing day of the tournament. We will see the tournament trophy be hoisted. And I saw a picture yesterday of the driving range at the John Deere Classic. They put, like, the tractor attachment with, like, the scoop thing, and that's, like, the range buckets. They're full of practice balls. Pretty good brand attention to detail by John Deere running this only tournament of their season in Moline. Pretty smart. I was impressed by that. But Sunday, we're getting out there. $60 gets you your admission to the tournament. Full trip transportation on a bus. Snacks on the bus, drinks on the bus, thanks to Prairie Street Brewing Company. That's where we're meeting in the morning. SportsFanRockford.com has all the details. It's the first thing you'd see when you log onto our website. It's a big poster right there. It says John Deere Bus Trip. Just click on right on that. It'll take you right to the sign-up page or with all the information where you can get to signed up. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Spots are running out, so be sure to hop on sportscenter.com and grab your reserve spot while they're still available. Christian, we were talking about Ronaldo going to Juventus. I want to move over to American football because I got triggered today.
Oh, did you?
It only in the last hour or so.
Oh, I'm excited. Triggered Jake is my favorite Jake.
Well, one, hurtful. Two.
Understandable?
Two, understandable. Three, hurtful again. Headlines rolling out on some blogs. I then confirmed it with the major outlets that are releasing these pieces of information. Madden 19 has released their player ratings. And while they will update it live throughout the season, so this isn't as important as maybe it once was, it gives an idea of where league-wide consensus lies and where players are in their careers. And clearly the most important player on the Bears is their quarterback, Mitch Trubisky. Pivotal year two for him. Here's the headline. Mitch Trubisky is the lowest rated projected starter in Madden NFL 19. Mitch Trubisky got a rating of a 74, lowest among incumbent starters. Rookies Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, and Lamar Jackson all coming in with higher ratings than the two-year man out of North Carolina. Backups, Teddy Bridgewater, Josh McCown, Jacoby Brissett, Patrick Mahomes, also rated ahead of Trubisky.
This makes me so happy.
Are you out of your mind? 74 and all those guys. Listen, I'm even all in on giving him a low rating. I'm using it comparative to those other numbers. Baker Mayfield being an 81. All these other rookies being 78s and 79s. Ridiculous. You can't tell me Mitch Trubisky is already just that much worse than all these guys we haven't seen play football yet. I don't believe it.
Did he show anything in his...
If you're a starter in Madden, you can't tell me you're a 74 overall. Patrick Mahomes played one game. You're gonna grade him higher than Trubisky?
He played against the Broncos. Played pretty well.
Okay, great. You beat a 7-5 team. Or a 7-9 team. Sincerest congratulations.
With a pretty good defense.
An alright defense that was quitting at that point because their season was over. He threw as many touchdowns as interceptions, wasn't allowed to throw the ball, averaged 182 passing yards per game, only 59% of his passes, 77.5 rating. The lowest passing offense in football last year. So I guess it makes sense their quarterback should be the lowest rated. But having that many backups ahead of him, guys that didn't play last year, guys that played poorly.
It's just harder because, like, Lamar Jackson jumped up because he is the fastest QB in Madden. He has a 91 rating. It's a 91 speed rating, okay? A lot of these guys, they showed off an elite trait and were drafted pretty highly. The problem with Trubisky is if he would have come in last year, his rating would have been higher. Like, his rating last year was probably higher coming out of the draft because most of the time draft picks ratings are higher. But then he came into the league and he did not show an elite trait. He was pretty average, pretty good at everything, but he did not show an elite trait, which means there's no reason for them to rate him high. He showed average skills at everything. And generally, when you average something out, the average isn't going to be that high.
Who will end the year with a larger rating, a higher rating? Mitch Trubisky or Lamar Jackson?
Probably Mitch, just because he'll have more chances.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Who's he behind?
Great question. I don't even know who Teddy Bridgewater ended up signing with.
The Jets?
So Darnold.
Is it the Jets?
I don't know.
That was a question mark.
Yeah, New York Jets.
Jets?
So it would either be Bridgewater or Darnold playing. Whichever of those two don't play.
I think Trubisky's rating is going to go up, but I don't see him jumping up over a 78.
He's gonna stagnate at 78 this year.
I just don't see, outside of Allen Robinson really, really, really making him look good, I don't see how he can put up eye-popping numbers with that offense in order to jump a rating that high.
People I trust say don't expect Jared Goff, but expect a sizable jump.
And Jared Goff didn't...
National guys.
What is Jared Goff's rating right now?
I mean, he should be pretty high. He was part of one of the most prolific offenses in football last year.
I'm guessing 82. Same as Kirk Cousins.
Ended the year last year in Madden 18 with a 92.
With a 92, yeah, it was pretty high. I remember that. That was kind of ridiculous that Jared Goff's rating was that high.
Now I got to look up 19.
I do.
Man. An article from July 3rd on Cardinals Wire, Josh Rosen's Madden 19 rating higher than Jared Goff's.
So Goff is low too. So they just really have no respect for returning QBs.
I got one better than Jared Goff. Ramsey said...
Oh, coming into the league.
He was a 77, I'm a 78. Oh, sorry. That was ratings coming into the league.
Yeah.
I still can't find Madden's 19 ratings for the 2018 Rams. Goff, just an 81.
81?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm thinking Trubisky jumps to like a 78 by the end of the season. Probably about right. But I don't see, like I said, you don't see them being prolific on offense either, right?
No.
Okay. So I don't see why any rating jump would happen.
See, but yeah, I guess I don't know. I guess 79 to 81 was the range that I was probably working with.
Yeah, I think it is a little bit low to start the season off, but I can understand where it is because there was nothing.
74? He was throwing to Kendall Wright and Josh Bellamy.
And not really allowed to throw, period.
Oh, and Dowell Loggins was dialing in plays. No, I mean, what are you going to do? You can change the rating. That's why they went low, because you can change them. You can adapt.
But I just can't wait to start a franchise with, like, the Browns and trade the Bears Tyrod Taylor and get Roquan Smith and everything will be awesome.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you can't start a franchise with the Bears because it's going to be really easy for Madden developers to bolster his rating, but it won't develop in a franchise. That's going to make that game way less fun.
For you.
Yeah, and it's all about me.
I'm going to love it. I loved it last year because I could just literally trade any QB to the Bears and they would give me everything.
I could trade any QB to the Bears and they would give me literally the entire franchise.
It was the best.
All right, okay.
I knew that I had a trade partner whenever I needed it.
I will give you Teddy Bridgewater. All you have to do is give me Akeem Hicks.
Absolutely. You'd be surprised. That exact trade probably went down more than once.
And Leonard Floyd. And
I need to bolster my defensive line. Here you go. Take my backup QB and a first round pick. Here you go.
Give me Tariq Cohen for third down slip screens. Thank you very much.
I'll go with a Super Bowl.
That seems very, I mean,
disrespectful. Are you disrespected?
I hope Mitch Trubisky has a Rodgers like chip on his shoulder that he internalizes things like this and lets it fuel him.
Okay, yeah. But we know who we're talking about, right? Have you seen any reason to make you think that he is someone like that?
A little bit.
Really?
A little bit.
Okay.
Do you think Mitch Trubisky just tells you, or to you, it just seems like he's happy-go-lucky, happy to be here, Mitchell?
Yeah. I haven't seen the spark yet.
You don't think he's got any fire?
I think he does, to a certain extent. I just haven't seen the spark.
Being a 74 in Madden might do it.
Because Madden ratings actually are pretty important. Because that's what happened. Lamar Jackson, right when he got drafted, went into the back room. They like, here, you can play with yourself in Madden. And he got sacked by someone. And he's like, my speed rating's too low. And they hadn't ended 88. And he complained so much that when the actual game comes out, he's now a 91 in speed and the fastest QB in the game.
Did he run the 40 at the combine?
No, I don't think he did. I think he saved it for his pro day.
Do we know what he ran at pro day?
I can find it.
Roquan Smith was one of the highest among rookies, though, so the Bears did get a little bit of a bolster there. 1 point higher than Bradley Chubb, and I had to rub that in Christian's face when I got that news. I sent him a screen cap of it, and he said it will only last 2 weeks. Hopefully Trubisky's rating is also only lasting 2 weeks, because otherwise I'm going to have to throw a hissy fit.
And hey, I love when
hey,
you
man,
throw.
I'm going to rage Twitter war on you, EA Madden. You're going to get spam tweeted 4-3. A lot. 4-3?
Yeah.
Good God, that guy's fast. Anyways, that's about the extent of Bears news I can deliver to you at this point in the calendar.
Was the Biscuits
is the Biscuits Madden ratings and the players that the graders in the NFL, not in the NFL, but that are doing this for Madden think that Mitch Trubisky is one of the worst quarterbacks in football right now, if not the worst, among players that have a reasonable shot to play. Maybe not just start, but play, because they're backups that have higher ratings than him. And that is slightly scary, and that's why it's triggering, because I know I'm watching Mitch Trubisky last year through orange and blue glasses. I didn't know they were that tinted. I was hoping they weren't that tinted.
Oh, there was definitely some good red zone plays I saw, some good throws.
The red zone, was the extension of plays was encouraging. The hanging in the pocket. The presence, the not getting happy feet when a bad offensive line is letting good edge rushers just bull rush you.
If we treat last season as basically just extended summer league, yeah, he looked pretty good.
I mean, I'm interested to what he looks like in a scheme that should fit him very well.
With targets.
Still doesn't have much of a line, though. But hopefully the ball is getting out very quick in the new Matt Nagy offense. Sports Fan Radio 1330. Jake Logley, Christian Hager. We're with you till 5 o'clock. Our question today, are the Cubs a a worse team than the Brewers if they were to if the Brewers were to get Manny Machado? Are the Brewers a better team than the Cubs? Better way of saying it. If were they to add Manny Machado? Some folks taking umbrage with the wording, saying better is a record is a better indicator of better, quote unquote. The Cubs are more talented, not better. So I asked the question, so are the Brewers more talented if they added Machado? Jeremy says, no, even if they added Machado, the Brewers are not more talented than the Chicago Cubs. That's the better way to maybe put our question.
Agreed.
So Jeremy, shout out to you for maybe finding the better way to phrase it. But talent, even with Machado, a top seven player in the game, it's got a lot closer, but maybe they're still not as talented as the Chicago Cubs. Hitting a break, we'll talk more about that. CBS and college football that I think needs correcting. We'll talk all about it when we come back. Sports Fan Radio 1330. Sports Fan Radio 1330. Jake Logley, Christian Hager, it's good to be with you on this Tuesday.
Sometimes segments just fall into our laps, and I feel like a segment just fell into our lap.
Because...
Just do it.
I just saw an athletic NHL article. Source told Marc-Antoine Godin, who covers the Canadiens for the Athletic, Canadiens will not negotiate a new contract with Max Pacioretty. And GM Mark Bergevin continues efforts to trade their captain. At Blackhawks. Just tagging them over and over and over. Left winger captain might be willing to take a little bit of a discount on his next contract. Currently making...
What line does he play on?
$4.5 million per year. Oh, he'd play with Patrick Kane. He played line two with Kane.
Schmaltz, Kane, Pacioretty.
Pacioretty, Schmaltz, Kane, if we want to go in.
Correct order.
Yeah, correct order, but yes. Saad, Taves, and Hinostroza, Pacioretty, Schmaltz, Kane, DeBrincat, Anisimov, and Sakura. Then also in your fourth line's made up of David Kampf in the middle, John Hayden on the left side, someone on the right side, I don't know who. Who are you smiling at me about?
Nothing.
You still haven't appreciated your defense at all, but maybe you could get back Philip Denault, who you traded for Dale Weiss and Fleischman a couple years ago, and you got absolutely fleeced on that deal. So maybe get him back.
Because I've said since the beginning of the summer, since the beginning of the show, that I'm just fully waiting for the shoe to drop.
Are you still wearing a Blackhawks cup this offseason?
Yeah. I'm scared every single time I hear a trade rumor.
So you've let me rant and rave this much about the Blackhawks moving on. Now it's starting to make sense that you've never really indulged yourself in the conversations.
Yeah, because when I hear a name like Max Pacioretty, yeah, I fully expect
him to wind up a Blackhawk.
Yeah.
That would be so. This is the worst news for your least favorite sports team to get a guy like that all of a sudden.
Yeah, because guess what? He would be great on the Ducks. I don't know. First line.
Well, it's got to be comeuppance for the Ryan Kesler thing, right? I got to get some comeuppance for that eventually. Now, listen, the Blackhawks also have a ton of 29 to 31-year-olds who have plenty of miles on them. So would you really be getting an asset that's all that much better than what you have? But also, this might be the lowest price you could get a player of this caliber.
Yeah, especially when you have news coming out that the GM's like, yeah, we're actively trying to trade him. They have no leverage. You don't have to give them that much. They're just trying to get the contract off the books at this point.
He signed a six-year, $27 million deal at the time. It is expiring at the end of next year. He's due $4.5 million on a cap.
It's too perfect. It expires at the end of next year. It's too perfect. It's over with. It's happening.
But how much of a contract is one on the other end of it, and how much is Montreal looking to get away with on this trade?
Not that much. They have no leverage.
But do they know that yet? That's
absolutely
my question.
We've talked about if it's being reported in the media, the team has already known about it.
Yeah, they've known about it for weeks at that point because they've already tried to shop them.
Yeah.
Now they're just it's being leaked out by other GMs that, yeah, Montreal was really actively trying to shop Pacioretty. Weird. And that eventually bleeds down to beat reporters and things of that nature. But this was a Montreal guy, too. But they're going to go through a rebuild, and they're probably just wanting to break everything down, not spend $4.5 million on much of anyone. But that seems like a steal of a contract, too. He signed it in 2013, locked himself into a six-year deal at between $4 and $5 million per. Seems like an absolutely stacked deal.
I think we talked about it with Montreal. With you really wanting Van Riemsdyk. When we talk about franchises, going back to the sports game conversation, I think I've traded for Max Pacioretty in probably every single NHL franchise since 2013.
Wow.
Because the contract's so small, and it's so great, and he slots in perfectly.
To your team.
Yeah.
And also to my team.
But also to your team.
It seems we have reached an impasse.
I actually always move him to the right side, though.
You always move him to because he's a right-handed shot or something?
Because
I love having the inverse in NHL. I love left-handed shots on the right side and vice versa, because then you can skate towards the middle of the ice, skate right, shoot left, and just score a bunch of goals that way from way too far away.
No, because for a while there, before Corey Perry dropped off the side of a cliff in terms of production, I always needed a right winger after Bob Ryan left, and so I would take whatever winger I could get left or right, move him to the right side.
And I just realized I asked you a question about your NHL franchises, and I will never make that mistake again.
And we're almost the end of the show. We already talked about sports video games. Yeah, you opened the door.
I know. This is not beyond the scope of direct examination. That doesn't mean I'm not embarrassed with myself.
It's fine. Okay.
Listen, I opened the door.
Side.
I can't be mad the dog ran out. I'm just saying I should
have
opened the door.
You can put Ricky Rex on the right side. You put Max Pacioretty on the left side.
Okay, now I'm having trouble wrangling the dog.
Greatest first line.
I can't get the dog back in the house.
Greatest first line of all time.
I can't get the dog back in the house. I let him out. Now
trade
he's sprinting
him. Trade
around.
For him, Ducks. Do it.
I'm putting an electric fence at that doorway.
Do it!
Christian, can we please talk about the most relevant sports topic in the world right now?
What, the fact that Lovie Smith is being put on the hot seat but doesn't deserve to
enough.
Be on
Illinois
the hot
football,
seat?
Football, we haven't given nearly enough attention on this show.
Thank God we're almost at a break.
I saw an article that was ranking coaching hot seats from 1 to 5, 1 being very comfortable and 5 being blazing hot. You know what Lovie Smith was listed at? On a scale of 1 to 5?
5.
It was a 5. It was a 4.
Okay.
And if I had to rate Lovie Smith's hot seat, do you know what it would be?
-4?
-4. Yeah. Exactly. That's like, it gives me such a good perspective as to what we do here when we're so inside on a lot of these Chicago teams, and especially in college ball or sports or teams or organizations that people don't usually pay a lot of attention to. Like, certainly national college football writers don't pay attention to low-level Big Ten football, Illinois most specifically.
Mm-hmm.
From the aesthetic and the reality can sometimes be so wildly contrasted. That guy walks on water on the University of Illinois campus. He's recruiting better there than they have in the past 6-7 years. Actually, since 2007. What's that, 11 years? That's the last time they got a 5-star recruit. They have one already, and one that's pretty darn close, already committed.
Ooh, I'm really excited. Side note, I agree with you there. I think that's one of those where outside beat reporters, outside college football writers, just feel like his name's so big that they should have succeeded right away.
The reasoning is so weird. Well, Smith was barely an above-average coach at the NFL. Why should we have expected him to turn around a lowly, like hapless program like Illinois? I was like, he's doing it. You haven't seen it because the cupboard was so ridiculously empty. He had nothing in year one. In year two, he played more freshmen than anyone in college football. This is the first year you might be able to say there should be some on-field improvement. Like, reasonably be able to say that. And frankly, I expect it. I think they get a little bit closer to a bowl bid, but I don't even know if they eventually get there. But I just think it was funny. It was laughable to me just how far you can be off of the reality just from some fleeting, very outside metrics that don't really mean a whole lot, like a 5-19 record in your first 2 years. A side note that you wanted to get to, something you found on the interwebs?
Yeah, so I think it should come out tomorrow, but it might be Thursday.
Max Pacioretty's a Blackhawk?
No, it's NHL.com is doing a team reset. For each NHL team, and basically talking about how After the NHL draft, free agency, and other offseason moves, NHL.com is taking a look at where each team stands. So, what they're doing is just basically breaking down the moves and seeing how exactly they will move, and I'm ready for the Blackhawks one so that you can maybe talk yourself into this season. Because they already talked me into the Ducks. Like, these team resets are really, really fun because they're basically just hyping up every little free agent acquisition. And I'm so ready for you to read the Blackhawks one and either be super happy and talk yourself into the season or, like, mm-hmm. what are they seeing that I don't see and super mad?
Well, they're just buying into the Stan Bowman pitch, which was, well, it was a fluke, guys. And I got bad news. No, it was just a long time coming before this reality hit. So,
but this is, and I think this is a longer conversation that needs to be had sometime, how out of touch the NHL.com is. Yep. and the writers. They put a key departure for the Anaheim Ducks as Francois Hoschemann, who has not been relevant to an NHL team since 2014 and retired.
Yep,
and they're calling that a key departure. They're just the name recognition on NHL.com. Also, when they try to be hip and cool with their push notifications, one of the most annoying things in the world. Before Little John, I said it like that,
yeah,
intentionally, because they literally wrote out Little John
right.
will perform before the Vegas game 3.
Ha ha ha! The before party is going to be so lit.
Little John is going to be there.
We're going to have Little John, yeah.
And just someone needs to hire. They do the, better at
in
NHL.
In the club with our homies.
Just do better at NHL, please.
Oh, yeah. You know, we got Little John out here. Okay. Okay, yep. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Have a great hockey game.
I thought.
Have a great hockey game.
Was that your best
game? No, it's not. I don't try to do impressions like you do. I just say A at
mine
the end
aren't
of
good.
Everything.
I just have to try a little bit.
Yeah, no, but I don't try. That's
right.
That's kind of my shtick.
That's not
my lane.
That's not a shtick at all. That's the opposite of a shtick. That's the absence of a shtick.
That's no. The absence of a shtick is also a shtick.
Give yourself a kiki for that.
Why was that a kiki?
Give yourself a kiki.
Why?
Give it to yourself.
Kiki.
You earned that one. We got to wrap up the show when we come back. We'll give you some final poll results from our question of the day, tie the bow on all our conversations, as well as deliver some scorching hot takes for the evening. White Sox baseball is coming up tonight at 6:35. White Sox and Cardinals. Right here on Sports Fan Radio, 1330. Sports Fan Radio, 1330. Jake Logley, Christian Hager came in a little
Woo!
Bit early
I love
there.
Sports Fan Radio.
Sports Fan Radio, we're a big fan of ports.
We are. Oh, they're great.
In and out, ships coming in and out of ports.
Goods a nice exchange.
A nice glass of port.
Are you really a fan of port?
No, I've had it once, though. Supposed to drink it in tiny glasses.
I love porters.
Whoa, look at you, big player.
How was that? Okay, cool.
It's a big time move.
All right, so you want an update?
Yeah. Give me the final results for the day.
It's not final because we are leaving it open for the day.
And respect. Respect.
I feel like there's a lot of late bloomers here.
Like me.
Yeah.
My glow up starts Thursday.
Starts. Jordan Year. Woo! 67-33. 67% yes, 33% no.
Just a raw 2/3.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty impressive.
2/3 of our listenership that voted in our Twitter poll said the Brewers would be a better team were they to add Manny Machado. A better way, as our friend Jeremy on Facebook pointed out, might be to say more talented. That's the essence of what we mean. Are they a more talented ball club
than
the Cubs if they were to add Manny Machado? I would cast my vote for yes.
Really? More talented?
I don't know. Taking the talent part into the equation. Maybe not as talented, but the gap would be so small at that point. The record, the effectiveness of their players at this given time would have to overwhelm the conversation. And
yeah,
say,
the problem why everyone's scared about the Brewers is they don't have the star power right now.
Yeah.
They add star power, then all of a sudden, yes, they're the better team. That's why it's a yes.
It's a yes from you, dog?
Can we get that as a sound drop now?
It's going to be a no from me, dog. We will get that. You have some more ideas that you want to put on our soundboard here.
But nothing's going to beat this.
Yeah.
Nothing.
No, absolutely nothing.
Also, hot take time.
You got it. We're hot-blooded. Check it and see. Christian's running a fever about 107. It doesn't rhyme, but it's just more appropriate.
more appropriate.
Because we're running hot here on a Tuesday. Club went up on a Tuesday, if I can be real up front.
Obviously, you can be up front. Be up front whenever you want to be.
Christian, Tuesday hot take, what do you got?
Juventus is winning the Champions League next year.
Whoa, because I kind of hinted at it, and I could see, like, you didn't react, but I could see the light switch just flipping on your head. You're like, they might win the Champions League next year.
And they're beating Real on the way to doing it.
There will be a head-to-head Real and Juventus matchup in the Champions League tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's my pick.
Top page, top story on ESPN right now. The inside story of Ronaldo's move from Madrid to Juventus. I know Christian will be reading that all the way through. The first thing he does when he gets home tonight.
I mean, just look at the look he's giving you when you look at the ESPN homepage.
How has the world gotten so good at photoshopping these jerseys onto people? Because Juventus jersey has this like weird V collar, and that's not on Madrid's jersey, and yet they still were able to mimic it.
Well, we talked about it. Cristiano Ronaldo has a lot of shirtless pictures.
That's a good point. Maybe they just use one of those. Do you think he was giving that face, though? Like, look at him in that picture.
Oh, he's probably modeling at that point in time.
And just shirt off.
Yeah, modeling.
That's a good point. Hot take for a Tuesday?
Please give me all the hot takes for the Tuesday.
Because we won't be on air yet by the time the game will be at halftime. Croatia's going to win tomorrow. Croatia ends the English dream.
But it's coming home.
Is that a hot take?
It is a hot take because it's coming home.
I want to say they'd beat France, but no. Maybe I'll try to think of a way.
My great analysis has convinced you otherwise.
Maybe I can justify it later in the week and deliver that one on a Friday or something when I'm feeling real Sauce McGee. But no, just Croatia's beating England tomorrow.
I don't.
Luka Modric.
Can you say that again, please?
Modric. Do you like it?
About I love four it. Arles? They're going to have it. Got to have it.
Any loose ends we need to tie it before we get out of here, Christian?
Real quick, because we didn't get a chance to talk about it, but in the schedule you had the World Series delay, weather delay. Can you explain that real quick?
Yeah, the World Series of Poker got rained out.
How?
Such bad storms that casinos' power went down. Power surges.
Where at?
Wherever these sites are being held. I don't know. I just saw the headline.
Really?
I didn't have much information. That's why we didn't get to it.
Oh, no, that's fine. It's an indoor sport had a weather delay.
In the middle of summer, you're pretty used to hearing weather delays. I wasn't looking for it in the World Series of Poker.
Yeah, that's why I needed to hear what you were talking about, because I did not see anything about this.
It was storms that were causing power surges that were knocking out the main halls. And obviously, I don't know, maybe it's just lighting is very important. You need to make sure people aren't cheating, funneling cards in. I don't know what's happening, but you needed... They weren't able to get the resource they needed. They had to shut the whole thing down.
That delays the rest because that's an event in it.
Right.
Interesting. Very, very interesting.
Well, Christian, it was a pleasure to be with you. SportsFanRockford.com is the brand new website. You should go there, check it out. Get signed up for our John Deere Classic bus trip. You can still grab your spot, although they are moving fast from what I'm told. So move on that and get your spot on the bus when we head down to Moline on Sunday. All the details are there for you on SportsFanRockford.com. Also, full episode of the podcast. Randy and Company in the morning. Jordan Goethe's on with Mike Morgan, Paul Arco tomorrow at 6 a.m. We're back at 2 p.m. Dean Irvin's coming up next. My name is Jake Logley. You've been listening to Sports Fan Radio 1330. Have a great night, everybody. Happy birthday, Mom. I'm coming to see you soon.